Let's dig in. Let's get out of the Shema. Today's Chazara is focused on the Melacha, the Oraisa, and the Rabbanan of Bishul, in contradistinction to the Xeros, which we call them Xeros of Bishul. They're not really Bishul of anything. They could be Nirekim of Ashul. It could be Shema Yechata. But those are Xeros of Bishul, which are described in the very the first few blot of Perakira. But Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, that we're not discussing today. We're discussing the, we'll call the second part of the Perakira, which is not the second half. The second half is about Muksa, but the second part, which I guess spans from Lamed Tes to Mem Beis roughly, which talks about the Bishul proper. But before we even get to that, there's one preliminary sugya, which is critical, which is not found in Perakira at all, but what we'll call our Perak. We'll use the word our Perak somewhat loosely, Perak Lagodol. That's enough ayin, dalid, omid beis. That's where we're going to begin. On the ayin, dalid, omid beis, the Gemara tells us as follows. Number one, it tells us ofa and bevashel are similar. The Mishnah mentions ofa, even though in the Mishkan it was bevashel because of Sidur the Pas. Then the Gemara has two stories. Haima de shoda sichto latuna chayimishim bevashel, pshita. Mao the table shruri monika machamin kamash belon the mir parafi vahadu kamit. Another Gemara, Haiman the artach kufra chayvash and bevashal pshita. Mao the table came in the hada viyikusha emalo kamash belon. And that's it. That's the whole sugya, because everything else really is different malachas. This is a Tosfos. Mao the table the shruri monika machavin hachi perusha vein bo bishul klal. What does that mean? If you harden something, it's not considered to be bishul kamash belon. So Tosfos seems to be saying the definition of cooking is softening, and although your intention is to harden, but since softening seems to be an inevitable event which comes together with the ultimate hardening, and therefore you in fact would be Chayim. It also quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which the Rishonim will talk about how we reconcile the two Gemaras. The simple pshat in Tosfos is what we call in our language a psik resha. It's the pasuk pshat. We have pointed out that the, perhaps the machlokus, the Ramban and the Ritva here on our very daf, whether it's considered psik resha or not a psik resha, and we had a whole discussion, which is more psik resha dik than visual dik. Namely, psik resha means I'm doing A, which leads to B. What if I'm doing A, but B is a, what I call the prerequisite? B has to come first. That may be worse than the psikresha. That's what some Rishonim say. It's worse than psikresha. And some say it's no, it's a regular psikresha. We had a nafkamina, if you remember at the time. There's a din on a psikresha through a nachri is mutter. What happens if you tell a nachri to put on a fluorescent light? That was a mashal we gave. So there, is that considered a psikresha? Be permissible? Would be considered a mechavin mamish because the starter gets red hot before the light even goes on. And then we had a similar situation if someone asks the guy to put on the hot water on Shabbos, where the cold water comes in, which is pushing the hot water out. So it's not something which comes afterwards or conceptually afterwards. That's unclear. We're not discussing psikration now. We're discussing bishul. So now we had really three pshatim in this Gemara. The first pshat is we just saw Tosfos. Again, without the detail of whether it's psikresha or machavin, according to Tosfos' definition of bishul is softening, and the softening comes together with the hardening, etc. The Rambam seems to say that no, that the obligation of the chiyuv of bishul can exist whether one is softening or whether one is hardening. And the hardening itself can be also a violation of bishul. And that's the last pshat in the sugya, that we're not going into all the details. The Maskanas HaGemara is that even not only is softening considered bishul, but hardening is also considered to be in the category of bishul. And that would be very interesting. What it would fundamentally mean is change, right? From hard to soft, and from soft to hard. Either way would be a violation of bishul, according to the opinion of the Rambam, as most understand it. That's the Rambam. The Makshe Dover Rach. So the Lechem Mishnah is described in the Rambam. The Gemara says Kamash Malon. What does Gemara say? Kamash Malon. Kamash Malon. The Mirpa Rafi v'Hadar Komet. According to Torah, you chayv on the Ripui, on the making it soft. And according to the Lechem Mishnah Pshat in the Rambam, no, you chayv on the Kimut. That's his Pshat in the Rambam. That's perhaps a simpler Pshat. The Sharat Zion in Simon Shin Yud Ches, which is a simon about Bishul and Sivkot and Dalid, explains the Rambam that since you made it hard, then it's Misrape Tchila, that Bishul is Richuch, and he rejects the Pshat, which is, I think, the simple Pshat of the Lecha Mishnah. And it could be have a Nafkamina Alocha Lamaisa, the post can point out. Someone takes an egg, which has already been halfway cooked, so it's already been softened, and now you put it on the fire on Shabbos, you make it into a hard-boiled egg. All you've done is hardening. Are you chayav or not chayav? So some of the posts will suggest that according to the other posts, might be potter. According to the Rambam, if you're the Mishnah, would be chayav. According to the Sharat Zion, perhaps you would be potter as well. That's a shayla. That's a second shot in the sugya. Let's chazer again. According to Tosis, you chayav on the softening. According to the simple pshat of the Rambam, as explained by the Lecha Mishnah, you can be chayav on hardening as well. Fine. This is the third pshat in the Gemara, which is found in the Mordechai. Simen Tov Lamed Dalet. Simen Tov Lamed Dalet. Amazing Mordechai. Putting clothing near a fire. He says it's a question of a vashel. What's the connection between putting clothing near a fire and our Gemara? So you get the Pashup Shat in this Mordechai, Tav Lama Dalet, is Yechaya for cooking the water. The water cooks. Right. There seems to be a common thread between these two. That the Mordechai points out, Bishul Hamayim is based on a Yerayim, and this is Nafka Mina. The Rebbe Kivega says, what will happen if the water which is in the garment has been pre-cooked? And if you hold Ein Bishul Acha Bishul V'Davalach, which we'll get to soon, so that's a fascinating situation. It may not be a violation in this particular case. This is relevant. There was a Chassam Sofer who says that if you cook something, it goes to waste, it goes to Ibud, there's no violation of cooking. And the Mefarshim Meska Kasha against the Chassam Sofer from this Mordechai. Yeah, the water just gets evaporated, just disappears. So that's a question. So the Mefarshim talk about this, and they say perhaps the chiv over here is because it's converting water into steam. When you convert water into steam, this itself might be a violation of Bishul, because it's the equivalent of softening something which is hard. I guess from a relative perspective, water is harder than steam. Harder than steam. And this ties to yet to another question. The Mefarshim say in Shulchan Aruch, when this is quoted, that the only time you have to worry about this idea of putting clothes near a fire is if it reaches Yad Soledespo. But when it comes to softening something which is hard, according to many poskim, Yechayv even if it's less than Yad Soledespo. The poskim talk about it in the context of melting wax. So melting seems to be a richuch, according to some Mefarshim, Prima God among them. You don't even need that to let us know. So this is all discussion here in this sugya. So this is there's just the beginning of this sugya. We mentioned that we have avos and toldos, and by examining what's an av and what's a toldo, this sometimes gives us a view on the nature of the malach itself. So here we have an av sugya. Our Gemara talks about Ofer and Mevatel. The Pashup Shah that they're both considered to be in the category of an Av, call it a Ko-Av, which the Rambam has in a few places, Zoreya Noteya, things of this nature. And the Rambam says in the Pirush Mishnayos that the cases of Agamara, which you melted tar, Art of Kufra, is considered to be a Tolda. A Tolda. Tolda. So, he says the same thing in Yad HaChazaka, Perek Tes Halacha Vav. If you melt tar, it's considered to be a Tolda. What does that mean? So we have here this great safe. I brought it back. Shvus Yitzchak, which we spent a lot of time on, for the very definition of Bishul. So at the very beginning, his opening pages, he says, but the Av, this is an important yisod, the Av of Bishul is what he calls there a tikkun and a shinui in the echus. That means you're really making an improvement in the quality of the food. However, rikuch, softening something, in particular in a case in which it's chozal de kadmuso, it is going to come back to its original state, that's considered to be a tolda and not an af. So therefore you have to take tar and you melt it, you just wait a while, it's going to go right back to becoming the original tar. Same thing is true of metal. You melt it, it hardens, it becomes the same thing all over again. So therefore it's considered to be in the category of a tolda. Okay. On that basis, we have to think carefully about certain types of foods. When it comes to a food, we can make the following suggestion, perhaps, that since the rikuch is a tolda, sure, you cook a food, it normally will soften. But since a change, and a tikkun, a positive change in a food, is the av, you don't need softening. We said before about the egg case. You harden an egg, which had already been softened before Shabbos. Now you're just hardening it. According to this understanding, perhaps we'll be chayiv as Mitar's av malacha official, because the definition of the av, what we call the shinui, the tikkun be'echos, that's the av, and therefore there's no need to talk about softening. When there's no permanent shinui v'tikun v'echos, because it's going right back, then it's time to talk about a tolda known as rikuch. That's a suggestion, again, these opening pages in the Sefer Shavuos Yitzchak, and this ties up into another topic we're going to be discussing at much greater length shortly, which is water. 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 Question is, what's the pshat? Ram says if you cook water, it's an av malacha. Mechamem es hamayim is an av malacha. So there are those who claim, yes, it makes a change, a significant change, in the tikkun and it's echos. Remember we saw it from some of the poskim. V'zei adur b'refuah. They talk about it from the perspective of medicine, that it's sterilized water. Today's world, we're all worried about germs, so it does make a permanent and lasting difference in this water to make it germ-free. What they knew about germs in the old days, I can't say for sure. There's a semi-philosophical Drosh of Saran, which we spoke about before, but I'd like to stick to this, which I think is a little bit better, at least from our scientific perspective. So yes, could be there is a change in the water. That's one possibility. And we can suggest that this destruction of the germs makes a kind of a permanent shinui v'tikun v'echus. It means that if the water is consumed, you drink it or you use it, and it never became contaminated with bacteria again. So it was actually a permanent change from a bacteria-laden water to one which is missing all the bacteria because you sterilized it. Perhaps. Others suggest that when it comes to water, it's a different category because the Rambam puts it separately. There's this Ofer, there's Mevashel, and there's Mechame Mayim. A separate category. It's another kind of a Ko-Av. You know, it's a three-headed monster. There's Mevashel, there's Ofer, and there's Mechame. That's how Rambam presents at the beginning of Hilchos Perek Tes and Hilchos Shabbos. That's, we'll come to that later, whether Mayim is in fact a separate category, which should be relevant for a number of other things. Now, before we get to the, we'll call it the more practical issues, well, I guess it's also practical from a different sense, in the same sefer, Shavuos Yitzchok has a whole discussion, which I never even dreamt about. Apparently, people use cups, plastic cups, and they put in hot water in these cups, and the cup begins to melt somewhat. Now, it doesn't melt completely. If it goes right through, then you're in trouble. But it softened a little bit. It softens. I shouldn't use the word melt. Melt's too strong of a word. So the discussion there, whether an individual would be chayav on Shabbos, it's a psik resha. It's going to get softer. And we had a similar situation, which is about putting two candles together for Havdalah on what we call Yak Nahaz, even though it's Yontif and not Shabbos, and Bishul Yontif is permissible. This would be considered Bishul Shalol Letzorech. It's not for eating, it's not Ochol Nefesh. For those who say it's no good because you're softening the wax of the other candle, it's a whole discussion, fascinating discussion. And there were those who even discussed a soft plastic tablecloth with something hot is put on it and makes it even softer. Well, there are those who say we call ein richuch achar richuch. If it's already so soft before, a little soft won't make any difference. It's interesting. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva says that if you don't need the softening, it doesn't count for it. It doesn't mean anything. He's matter the two candles when it comes to the Havdalah Motzi Shabbos, what we call Yak Nahaz. That's what he suggests. It's interesting when it comes to a food. The Poskim suggests that based again on Hagos Mordechai Tov Samach Zayin, that although softening foods is a problem, that's the definition of Bishul, that may be only in a case where it's not worthy of being eaten at the present time until you cook it and soften it. But if it was edible beforehand, perhaps it would not be a problem. This is in the Hagos Mordechai. Remember, the Mordechai is divided in two. There's the Mordechai and then there's the Hagos Mordechai. There's the Hagos Mordechai in Simon Tov Samach Zayin. So he says over here, Dava shu kasha ve'ein yecholim la'achlo kiyamai de shriya also the shrosa. If it's inedible and then you put it in water in it and softens, you would be chayav. The implication is if it was edible, it wouldn't be a problem. That's certainly relevant to talk about butter. People sometimes will soften the butter, but look, even hard butter, you can in a pinch you can take the hard butter and sort of spread it sort of on the bread. So the poskim are more maker when it comes to this. Fine. We have mentioned the Prima Gadim who said when it comes to these items of you don't even need atzel lettuce, but even a small amount of heat. That's what he seems to say. Now, others suggest no, that we mean that the melted item will not reach Yad Soletispo, then you'd be putter. But if you don't need the heat of Yad Soletispo to achieve the melting, then that melting is not considered to be cooking at all. The Shmir Shabbos argues the definition of cooking is using heat, by definition. So whatever would be melted without the heat of Yad Soletispo, by definition, cannot be considered to be cooking. That's an interesting Shmir Shabbos is in Ha'ara Kuf Ayin Gimel in the first parak. Good. Now there's much more to be said about these interesting topics, but if you want to get to some things which are a little more halacha lemaisa and are more relevant on a daily basis, we'll just set aside the rest of this discussion and get to talk about Bishul proper as we know it. Okay, when it comes to foods. And our first topic over here is the famous Rambam, where the Rambam says that if a person cooks something, which is mevushal kol tzarko, or he cooks something which is Eino Tzorach Bishul Klal, says the Rambam, you are potter. Famous Rambam Perek Tes, Halacha Gimel. And the question is, why does the Rambam put these two together? And the simple pshat, again, there are many other things to be said, I'll give you the simple, I consider to be the simple pshat. The simple pshat in this juxtaposition of the Rambam is to teach us that the two dinim really have one basic reason. And what is that reason? That chiyuv bishul only if you make a tikkun and a shevach in the food. Now, there is mizvashal called tzoga before Shabbos. The second bishul doesn't really accomplish that much. It's already cooked from before Shabbos. Yes, it may be mitztamek v'yofalo, and there's a radical shit in Rishonim and some poskin. When you're mitztamek it and it's mitztamek v'yofalo, it's also chayav mishul bishul. And we even had a suggestion in the Gemara that way, according to the Mekeves HaMishnah, who associates Chananya and the Rabbanan by Shehiyah with their respective positions with respect to Bishul, there is a possibility of saying that. That's, again, a radical Shita. According to most Mefarshim, it's just not true. Because once it's cooked Mevushal Kol Tzarko, any other improvement, such as Tzimuk, is not in the category of Bishul. It's a separate improvement. But other than that, before it's reached that stage of Mevushal Kol Tzarko, any improvement is considered to be in the category of Bishul, that would be Chayev. Therefore, it's only when it hits Mevushal Kol Tzarko that the Bishul culpability no longer exists. It's already Mevushal Kol Tzarko, it can't be Chayev a second time. We call Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. So too, in the case of Davash and Tzarko Bishul Klal, the same Yisod exists. Because it doesn't need the Bishul. It's not a tikkun. It's not considered to be a tikkun. And therefore, it's considered to be permissible. This is a Pashup Shad, I thought, in Shitas HaRambam. That's what I thought. And we have to understand, this is a Klal Godol. Again, Bishul Achar Bishul, which does not exist because it does not create a sufficient improvement. This is in direct contrast to the sheet of what's probably called Rov Rishonim, the Rashba Barosham, cited by the Magen Mishnah, that says, no, you got it all wrong, Ramba. Ein Bishul Acha Bishul doesn't just mean that you haven't improved anything. No. Even if you improve it, once it has the status of Bishul on Friday, you can't be chayev on Bishul a second time. Obviously, the guy did it on Shabbos, so the same thing would apply. We don't care when the first bishul took place. Ein bishul achar halachic bishul. And we all know what's the definition. Rabbosai of halachic bishul, mefurash gemara menachas. What is it? We had it here so many times. Kemachal ben drusoi. Agua quotes in the context of Shehiyah, Shemiyachata. The gemara is in menachas, talks about in the context of bishul prop. So therefore, these gedoli we showed him, I think it's the majority of Shitas. So much so that the first Rabbi Allah was wondering why the Mechaba filed the Rambam against everybody else till he found Rishon like Rambam too. And that is, once it reaches Machal Ben Drusoi, there's no Bishul after that Halachic Bishul. A different approach completely. It's a different approach. Okay. The Eglei Tal is bothered. Why is it that there's a concept of Bishul with respect to Matchis, with respect to metal? Every case of metal, by definition, is a bishul achar bishul, because that's how you made the metal in the first place, by melting it, which is the bishul of the metal. Then it hardened, then you melt it again. You want to reshape it, things of this nature. So by definition, it's always considered to be a bishul achar bishul. It's the following famous phrase, which he sort of coins, called ozalei bishulo, that the first bishul disappeared. History. Why? If the definition of bishul is softening when it comes to metal, the moment it's hardened, so the original bishul is gone, and therefore now we start the clock all over again. Now you're chayv if you soften the metal, well, it was already softened before. That softening is history, and is not pot to somebody who's going to soften it a second time. This apparently is agreed to, even by the Rambam, even by the Rashba. The Rashba is the one who said that once it's a halachic bishul, you're potter, but that's true, but unless it disappeared completely, as in the case of matkas. And this ties us to the next question, which is relevant even today, halacha lemaisa, prima gadon sahara, if the first bishul was bechama, in the sun, we thought that according to most microwaves, should have the category of the sun, because there's no actual fire. So if someone cooked a kugel in a microwave, and then somebody else heats it on the fire on Shabbos, what would you say? Would you apply the principle of ein bishul acha bishul? So we should say that according to the Rambam, we certainly should apply it, because the point of the fact that it's already cooked, it's not really approving anything. But according to Shitas HaRashba, it's arguable the first bishul was not a halachic bishul, bishul b'chamas patah. But you could still say, even according to the Rashba only said Yechayev if the first bishul would be less than Macha ben Rusoi. So now you have two things. See, it was cooked, so it accomplishes two things. It's a first halachic bishul, and it also creates an improvement. Maybe you have to have both. If it's a microwave, even though there's no halachic bishul, but if it doesn't create any improvement except for the heating, which is not sufficient, then we might say a part, even according to the opinion of the Rashba. Prima Gadon didn't go into that particular detail so much. Having said all this, Rabosai, we now get to what we all know to be the number one shaila in this discussion, which is Dover Lach. Till now it's been easy. Now we start the hard stuff. Dover Lach. So, what is the discussion of Dover Lach? So, there are achronim who want to distinguish between Dover Lach, between water and other liquids. In what sense? They want to compare water to metal. You cook the water goes back to its original cold state, nothing's changed. You about the science, the Torah Mada, they killed some germs. Fundamentally, it looks the same, it smells the same, it tastes the same, it functions the same. There are a few fewer germs to make that much of a difference. And they want to say that yesh bishul acha bishul, particularly with respect to water, because it should be compared to metal. Whereas other liquids may not be in the same category. Soup is not the same as cold chicken and cold water. It's after it cools down, it became flavored as chicken soup. So there are those who want to draw this distinction. It's remarkable, we saw this distinction drawn in two different ways. Let's remember, there's a big machlokas gedoli harishonim, whether the yesh bishul acha bishul b'dover lach, or ein bishul acha bishul b'dover lach. The source being the Rosh, the Menudin Yon Aleph, he quotes that Rashi says, yesh bishul acha bishul b'dover lach, and many others disagree. So two of the gedoli achronim wanted to distinguish between water and soup, but in somewhat different ways. The Prima Gadon, he wanted to suggest that the whole machlokas is when it comes to water. When it comes to soup, everyone should agree that ein bishlach a bishlach b'dover lach, because the soup has been changed irrevocably, and it doesn't reduce back to water and chicken. And everyone should agree that you're potter. The Eglei Tal went the other way. So he thinks that the machlokas when it comes to soup, when it comes to water, he originally suggested, everyone should agree, you would be chayef in bishlach habishl. At the end he backs out because you do a berufuah, that there's a change in the germs. But they both suggested on different levels. Bottom line, most poskim assume that they're all the same, that this is based on Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, who was one of the architects of the principle of yesh bishul acha bishul b'dover lach, seems to equate the water with the soup. He, as a matter of fact, is the most dramatic and radical position that yesh bishul acha bishul b'dover lach, the moment that the dover lach leaves the pot, because once it leaves the pot and then flies through the air and then lands in another pot. So we have a principle which we'll discuss later with some length, that only Kli Rishon is Mevashel. So once the water left the comfortable confines of the Kli Rishon, which has the hot walls, etc., it's already lost to some extent its power, its ability to cook. It's all in the Kli Rishon Mevashel. And therefore, when it's been paka, the full shame bishul from this water, and therefore when you pour from one from a kettle into a pot of chol, by definition you would be chayav, because when the water was in the air, it lost its status of mayim uvushalim, and then when it lands in the chol pot, it's going to become cooked again. That's his radical formulation. Mr. Brewer takes pains, say we don't pass like him, but he said it. That's the most radical formulation. Fine. So, the definition of heat, we mentioned earlier, is Yad Sol Erez Bo. That's how we define heat. We'll get to later what that means, precisely, or at least imprecisely. But, Yad Sol Erez Bo. So now, I believe that all Rishonim agree that even if Yesh Bishel Ach HaBishel B'Dav Alach, that's only if it cools down. But if somebody has water which is very hot, and then he puts it into a fire, except for Rabbeinu Yonah, everyone will agree there's no problem. If you're pouring water into the chont, there's no problem of Bishel as long as the water is hot and the chont, the soup in the chont is hot, the watery part, as the case may be. So all these things, there's no problem of Bishel because they're all halachically hot. Halachically hot is Yad Sol Erez Bo. Fine. This leads to another interesting question. Very interesting question, which may be relevant in a number of cases. Potentially the case of the urn we spoke about. You have water which has reached Yad Sol Erez Bo. And now, we want to take it to the for the very first time in its history to a point way above Yad Sol Erez Bo. Let's take boiling, for example. Would that involve an achi of an Shabbos or not? I repeat. It was Yad Sol Erez Bo. Now I want to bring it up to a case of roschin. Roschin is, we'll call it mavusha called tzarko. It's fully cooked. It's boiling hot. Are you chayav or not? Big machlokes. Some say no. Ein bishel acha bishel v'dov alach, which never cooled down. Here it never was cold. It was above yatsa lettuce the whole time. Others say no. That's ridiculous. When did he, this is what the Magen Rambam seems to be saying. When did the poskim say Mishlach Abishav Olach, which is Lo Nitzanein? That's where at least at one point hit the max. The max being either 212 or whatever other max that is normally used in order to bring this water to its full potential that you're using it for. So for argument's sake, today we have an urn. So the urn, I don't think ever hits boiling. Probably it's illegal for it to be that hot. But it does get... I think somebody said they measured the urn was 180 degrees, something along those lines, which is quite a bit short of 212, but still exceedingly hot. That's what you use when you want to make your coffee, your tea, things of this nature. So you have very hot water in the urn. But let's say Yad Sol Erez is less than that. Just I'll throw out a number. We have some Talmidim who picked the number, 115? The Talmidim can no longer put their hands in the water for a minute of time. It's 115. Okay, you want to say it depends not upon leaving it there indefinitely, but upon how you pull away when the water rolls over your hands. That's obviously a higher temperature, so that'll make it 160 max. So much as highest, except in one place, is 175. That's really almost unbelievable. But so we have ranges between 115 and maybe 160. It sounds like a very high number. But all right, somewhere in that range. And now for the very first time, I want to move it up to 180, which is the water I need to make the tea and the coffee or whatever I plan to do with this water. Would you be chayav or not? So some say, no. How could you be chayav? The water is already pre-cooked. The Gemara has in Daf Mem Amud Beis that there seems to be a violation of letting water reach Yad Sol Erez Bo. That's it. That's the violation. And if it goes now from Yad Sol Erez Bo, however defined, 180 or 212, be potter. Others say no, absolutely not. You would certainly be chayav in that kind of a case because it never had been mevushal called tzarko. I shouldn't say the word certainly. Certainly, according to Shitas Haramba, that there's only a p'tur of a bishlach a bishlach if it's mevushal called tzarko. It's not called tzarko. Just going to happen to hit some measly yatz so let us 115 degrees. That's not the called tzarko at all. You wouldn't heat water to that temperature. You wouldn't know what to do with it. So my position was, I'm afraid that maybe the Machmirim are right. Even the Rav Moshe disagrees, and many others. It seems to me that we can explain this opinion, which is attributed to the Magen Avraham, in the following way. When we say Yesh Bishul Achavishul B'Davalach, it's really a misnomer. It's a misnomer. What we really mean to say is Yesh Chimum Achachimum B'Davalach. When it comes to a liquid, there's an additional dimension called Chimum, and if the Chimum is eliminated by it's being cooled down on a halachic level to beneath Yatzal Lesbo, it's halachically cold, then you bring it back up again, so you'd be chayev on what we call Yesh Bishul Achavishul, which is really Chimum Achachimum. However, if it sinks from 212 to 160, which is above Yatzal Lesbo, you bring it back to 212, you'd be potter. Why you potter? Because Ein Bishul Achavishul already was maxed out with 212. And Ein Chimum Achachimum because it never sank below the magical number of 160. So therefore, it's permissible completely. However, what will happen if someone hits the lower level, Yatzal Lesbo, whether it be 160, 115, whatever it may be, and that's as far as it got. So halachli, you're right, hit Yatzal Lesbo, so we cannot talk about an obligation of chimum anymore because it passed what we call the red line. It's already hot. However, there could still be a chiyuv of bishul, particularly according to the Rambam's opinion that the only time we say bishul of a bishul is if the food reaches what's called mavushal called tzarko, and hit Yatzal Lesbo, presumably it's not called tzarko. So I'm fearful that this chiyuv may in fact exist. L'chol adeis. And even if it doesn't exist according to the Mechaber, which is what some say, but according to the Ramah it would. We'll get to the Mechaber Ramah a little bit later on. So I myself would not be happy with this. There's a discussion with respect to the urn. How hot does the water get in that little tube on the outside? So the Benjamin Zilber, Zichron Levracha, who was the one? He was the one who was machmir in the case of water which reached out to Letus Bo to go all the way to Mavushal called Tzarko, and yet over here when it comes to the urn, he wants to be makil on the grounds that the water in the tube hit Yatzal Lesbo. So I'm going to have to reconcile his opinion. Of course, his definition of Yatzal Lesbo is low, I mean, relatively low. He says it reaches 130 degrees, something like that, which I guess if I had a bet, I would say is Yatzal Lesbo, but I'm still a little bit worried about Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that it's considered to be potentially at least suffering and Yatzal Lesbo. Rav Moshe is making it for other reasons. They said when the water goes from the urn from the little tube into the urn, it's a psikration of lo nichole. I'm not so sure why it's lo nichole. He really wants that water to get heated up to the full max. But okay. And then the scientists say that there's no such problem, that the water all mixes because of some rule that water of different temperatures has to mix no matter how small the hole is between them. It's a very small hole between the tube and the rest of the water in the urn. No one has yet done an experiment with radioactive isotopes, so I can't tell you if you can do that in your physics lab. It's a little bit harder than the last experiment I asked you to do. But maybe there's a way to do it with what?
Yeah,
a dye? You think a dye would work?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do it with a dye. Okay, so let's. How would you do such an experiment? You would put dye in the main body and see what the tube looks like. Yeah, is that a good experiment? Would that carry the day? In other words, if the color is the same in both, I'm not sure if it's hard to measure the exact colors. If a little bit gets in, it'll be a little bit of the dye. But kids, there must be a way how to do this. The Oruch Chos Shabbos says that they checked with experts, scientists, and they checked with, on a practical level, they said all the water mixes. Olden years, they thought it was not that way, and they suggested two possibilities of either tipping the urn, or if you put a cover on the top of the tube before you fill up the urn, apparently, because of the laws of physics, there's no air on top, the tube will not fill up. And afterwards, you can pull that top, and then the water from the main body, which is already 180, will then come in. Now, again, I'm just telling you what to do. Halacha lemaisa, if you want to avoid this problem. Okay, good. So now, Rabbi Osai, we have the famous Ramah. This is the world famous Ramah. The Rambam quotes two opinions. Shulchan Aruch has two opinions already. But Dava Lach, what's the din? And he makes a compromise as the Rambam. Namely, if it's Nitzdanin Legamri, Yesh Bishalach Bishal Dava Lach. And if it's Lo Nitzdanin Legamri, then Ein Bishalach Bishal Dava Lach. And the whole world tumbles. What's the difference? Make up your mind, Rambam. Either yes or no. What kind of compromise is this? So we find, I believe, a fundamental disagreement between the original classical sources on the one hand and the more recent Achronim on the other hand. The more recent Achronim have suggested Pshat in this Ramah, the Chazanish, the Rav Moshe, and the Mishnah Berurah is even mashed this way, the Minchas Kohen, and I think the Prima Godim, the lot of great Gedolim of the recent centuries have some Pshat in the Ramah that fundamentally he holds against the Mechab. And Ein Bishalach Abishal B'dov Alach. Ah, you want to know why if Nitzana Legamre are they Machmir? So there's some Chumim B'der Rabbanan B'Alma. Maybe it's because of the possibility of Chazara in an illicit fashion or some other Zero or Siog, whatever it may be. Purely the Rabbanan. That's what the more recent explanations have been given. However, if you look at the classical sources, and again, can't look at everything right now, but we had a Truma Sadeshin, who used the word Av Malacha. We had a Mogan Avram, who used the word Doraisa, a Nafkamina Locha Lamaisa, can it be done through a Goy? Shvus to Shvus could be Mutta, but not Shvus of a Doraisa. Here's a Doraisa, writes the Mogan Avram. I believe it's Reshnun Gimel Lamed Zayin. And therefore, I was frankly more concerned about that opinion. That seems to be the classical view. In the earlier sources, that seem to say that the Pshat and the Ramah took it from the Trumas Hadeshim, that this would be a Shah of the Raisa, which is obviously much more Chama the Geshayla. Not only that, it was not completely clear what the words Lon and Stana Legamre mean. Some say it means, look, as long as there's any noticeable heat whatsoever, so then it's Lon and Stana Legamre. And as proof, I discussed the original Eglei Tal, that's Svara. It'd only say Bishalach HaBishav Ozolei Bishule, completely disappear. Here it didn't disappear. You still have some warmth. Right? We'd say it's above room temperature. Has some warmth. So there's some visible, palpable, I should say, remnant of the original heating process. That should be enough to eliminate any chi of bishul a second time. That's how some say pshat in the Ramah. However, again, if one looks in the classical sources, one finds that a different threshold is given. We saw this in the Darkei Moshe Aruch. The author by the Ramah, so you have to assume that's where he gets. He's culling his dinim from. They quote some an Or Zerua that says the shear is korov liat soleris. Okay. And in many Rishonim, many, we saw it in the Mordechai and Agos, Maimini, and a number of others, will use an expression that it's dugmas machal ben rusoi. That's a very important phrase. Dugmas, or the equivalent of, parallel to, analogous to, Machal ben Drusoy. So what does that mean? The Eglei Tal explains it in what we'll call the practical sense of Tzirif Hashitas. According to some Rishonim, once something reaches Machal ben Drusoy, you're no longer chayv for advancing its cooking further. The Rash Bashita. And that you have over here. And number two, there are many Rishonim who say, Ein Bishlach HaBishl B'davolach, period. So it's a kind of a svek svek of the kula. That's fundamentally the Eglei Tal pshat. And I resisted that pshat for, among other reasons, the smag. The smag goes through the same language as the other Rishon that were quoted. There were avodim and there were by chupas. The same words, the same case. And he also uses the expression of dugmas machal ben rusoi. Yet the smag, in contrast to his other colleagues, hold it the Rambam shita. The only time he applied the principle of Ebishlach Abishal B'davolach, Ebishlach Abishal B'chlal, is when it's Mavushal Kol Tzarko. So you cannot say it's based on a Svek Sveka. The Smag himself says, like the Rambam, that until Kol Tzarko is the Ebishlach Abishal, and the Smag himself, in this particular case, is mekel if it's dugmas kamachal ben rusoi. So you must say my pshat. My pshat is that if it's dugmas machal ben rusoi, then we say lo azale bishule. As the Shulchan Aruch Harav phrased it, it's roy lechol machmas chamimuso. It can still be served in a pinch as hot soup. So as long as that status exists, so then we say that if you reheat it, it's all right, because the first bishul wasn't bottle, because it could still be served in a pinch as hot soup. You're making a hotter soup, okay? You're not. There's no chiyuv. It'll be permissible. However, if it's further down than that, lower than that, even though it's above room temperature, afal pikein, since the Rebbetzin wouldn't serve it as hot soup no matter what, we therefore say. That according to the Ramo, Yesh Bishlach Abishal B'davalach, I would say Pshat B'daraisa. I know it's a little radical, it's against the conventional wisdom of a few centuries, but what can I do? I'm a classicist. You look back on the in the Rishonim, and even in the Mogan Avraham, that's what would appear. Okay. Nafkamina may be the second cup of tea. What's the second cup of tea? Ramoshes Mekel. Even though you have a few drops of cool down tea, which have been standing in the garment. So Rav Moshe writes, look, the whole idea is only a chumra b'alma. This whole idea of a bishulach, a bishul d'olach, it's only a chumra. They never meant to be a machmer for a few drops of tea. However, according to me, if it's a shava d'oraisa, then it's not so simple. And then we go again to the other resort of some other svaras, psikmeshet lo nichale, which I wasn't sure. You don't want a stream of cold drops in the middle of your hot tea. And then there's a fancy footwork of Tzvi Pesach Frank. Namely, that's a suffix psikresha. What's a suffix psikresha? The classical case, if you have a box, and you're not sure if there are flies in the box or not, so some poskim say it's mutter to cover to close the box, to dover shena miskave, and it's not a psikresha. Usually we say in a case where the doubt is future-oriented. I'll pull a bench, it's not clear whether it'll make a ditch or not. Here, it's past-oriented, but nonetheless, according to the Taz, it's maybe a shiloh which would be permissible, salib segresha, and the Rav Tzvi Pesach wants to extend it to halachic suffix. It's halachic suffix, whether it's yesh, bishlach, 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 or not. And you can throw in whether iwi is mevashal or not. Another fact we'll get to a little bit later on. So therefore, there are those who have some grounds for leniency in these cases. The Shvitz the Shabbos who brings it up says only the big tzaddikim would wipe the bottom of the teacups dry, and everyone else is relying on some kind of a series of coolers. Fine. So we assume that the din is that yesh bishalach habishal b'davalach, again, if it's lo nitzan legamri, ein bishalach habishal. And it's permissible, even if it's the stand on the garment. What'll happen if something moves, it changes state, it's a moving target. It changes from Yavesh to Lach. Very serious question. The Mogan Avraham discusses this question. He's talking about putting some food near a fire, and ultimately it's gonna heat up and it's gonna the sal, the congealed fat is gonna start to liquefy and to be heated. So the Mogan Avraham is making mutter. Why is it mutter? Because right now it's a double yavesh. And later on it becomes lach. No, so it becomes lach. So what? We follow the here and now. That's the chiddush of the Mogan Avraham, as understood by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. Is a whole discussion which goes beyond our purview right now, and Hilchos Groma, in general, melachos of this nature. If you start something now it's okay, but later on it's going to become problematic. Do we say it's mut? Do we say it's aser? So this Mogan Avraham is adduced in that discussion as a support of the more lenient view. We mentioned that although Rabbi Shlomo Zalman liked this, Rabbi Eliashiv didn't like this at all. And he said, well, the only way out is to say that there's no bishlach abishal meikir adin when it comes to gravy. And even those who hold Bishlach, Abishab, Adavalach, Nikir Adim, when it comes to water, were not accepted by gravy. This goes back to our earlier distinction, which most poskim rejected. So Rav Yosef is not saying that when it comes to gravy, it's Het Gama. The way I understood him, again, it's all quoted in his name, I believe in the Sefer Shvus Yitzchak, he probably meant that Bishlach, Abishal, when it comes to water, is a greater shadow of a Doraisa, as opposed to Bishlach, Abishal, when it comes to other liquids, which is not a shayla of the araisa, presumably it's also with Rabbanan, but they put all liquids in the same boat. I'm just projecting, I can't say for sure what Yashuv's opinion is, something along those lines. He had a whole different mahalach in why this should be mutter. He wasn't going to rely on any kind of grumma kind of thing that it started off okay. That shouldn't work, he says. That shouldn't work. It's interesting that the Mogan Avram allows you to pour boiling water on something from the perspective of Bishul. And Rabbi Kivega asks, we understand the Mogan Avram is Lishitasa, you pour the water on the grease is solid. And although it liquefies later on, big deal. But then he says it's not the same. In the case on end of Siman Shin Yud Ches, I think it's Magen Avraham Mem, if I'm not mistaken, Shulchan Aruch Tezayin. So there, you did a one-time act. You put this food near the fire. The fire did its magic, and now you have to turn around. You have hot gravy. Okay, you pull the shtick. It's all right, but you did it in one action. Here, where there's a continuous stream of water coming out of your hand, you're pouring the kettle. So although the initial water was going on solid grease, but the second water is going on the first water. That's what bothers Rabbi Kiveger in Simon Resh Nun Gimel on the Mogan Avram, end of Sivkotan, Mem Aleph. So he has a whole discussion that there was never Poka the shame of Ushel, there was no point in time when the Shei Bishul was Poka. What does that mean? When is it solid? So then, it's a solid. We said it comes a solid in Bishlach HaBishul. Then, later on, it's above the temperature known as Nitzdan on the Gamri. So put the two and two together, and there's never going to be a problem. This is the whole issue of, is it really true? And it leads to the question of what comes first. We go back to the case of the gravy. What comes first? The change in state or the halachic change in temperature? What comes first? Does it first become hot and then liquefy, or the other way around? So there are those who maintain that it first becomes hot. Now, of course, if you hold a fairly low shear of Yatza Ledesbo, this is possible. It first becomes hot, and that was okay, because it was still solid. And then later on it liquefies. You have to go to every case individually and see what the order is. As a matter of fact, this could be a distinction between the various poskim, between the case of the congealed fat, gravy we spoke about on one hand, which according to the Magen Avraham is mutter, and many poskim who seem to accept that Magen Avraham have a problem with sugar that you put into you're pouring on top of the sugar, and the suggestion is made that there when you pour the water on top of the sugar dissolves instantaneously, even before it can reach the hot temperature of Yatza Ledesbo or higher. So it all depends what the order is. That's what some suggest. And there's different opinions. And yet others, who are worried about the contradiction between the poskim, they talk about sugar and other things, such as coffee and tea, on the one hand, and the Mogan Avraham and Shin Ches on the other, they have a different suggestion, that maybe they were machmir by sugar because it's never really fully cooked. You don't eat sugar. Now, is that true? You don't eat sugar? Yeah, you don't? No one eats sugar? Huh?
Perhaps I eat it.
Some do, some don't. But they're discussing whether sugar is eaten or whether coffee is eaten. We discuss this a little bit, come back to it. So that's another approach to explain why these poskim are machmir by pouring hot water on these various, we'll call them powders, or granulated materials, and they're more makel when it comes to the gravy. It's not necessarily because of the fact that you're pouring, you're pouring continually, not necessarily because it's what came first, the heating or the liquefying, but rather it's just never, it was never really fully cooked. If you look at some of the original sources, it would appear that's what they were really driving at. Okay. Ara chiddush. I haven't told you too many chiddushim so far. Here's my big chiddush, my bombshell chiddush. My bnupshat in the Rambam. This is something which I never even contemplated before. And it came to me because the poskim in adding up the gedoli rishonim, how they hold in Bishlach Bishlach, but Davalach, the Beis Yosef, quotes the Rambam, his main man, as being in the category of those who maintain Ein Bishlach HaBishlach B'davalach. Why? Simple. He never said, Yesh Bishlach HaBishlach B'davalach. As we all know, Ein Bishlach HaBishlach. Ram didn't say that Lach is different, so he must be in the group of the Mekilim. However, the Talmidim, Shiyichyu, asked me a kasha, which set me thinking. The Rambam says that if a Mevashel Dover HaMevushel called Sarko, it's Potter. Potter. I didn't say Mutter. It said, Potter. Now that's Potter. So that gives you the impression that there's an Issa Derabana. So yes, the Egle targets out by saying he means it's also Derabana because of the second half of what we're learning, of the Gzeiros of Shami Yechate and Nirekim Aval, that kind of stuff. It's Allah Eish. A Shver Pshat, if you ask me, because the Rambam is not talking about these things at that point. That's nothing to do. It's totally out of context. Then, the Rambam equated two things. What are the two things he equated? Something which is Mevushel Kol Tzarko, or something which is Ein Tzarich Bishul Klal. So Bekiva Eger is wondering, something which is Ein Tzarich Bishul Klal, what is it? Is it Potter Abel Aser, or is it Potter Amutter? So he says, look, everybody knows that Ein Bishlach HaBishul Davalach, Ein Bishlach HaBishul is Potter and Mutter. So there, although the Rambam calls it Potter, it's Mutter, here also it's Potter and Mutter. So writes the Kivei. Seemed to me that the other way around, that typically when the Rambam says Potter, it means Potter Avalasar. And in Hilchos Bishul, I thought it was Potter Avalasar. That the Rambam, I thought, held that it would be in point of fact Asim and the Rabbanan in both cases. Dava Shein Etzor Bishul Klal would be Asim and the Rabbanan, and Dava Mevushel Kol Tzarko would be Asim and the Rabbanan. It's against the Mefurisha Mishnah and Gemara. Kuf Mem Hamed Beis. And Kuf Mem Hamed Beis, that's the source for the din of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. Right? It's Ba Bechamim Velifnei HaShabbos, it's Sharon Besharon also Bishabbos. But if you remember, we looked in the careful in the Lashon of the Rambam, and especially with the Pirush of the Evan Ozel, Rabbi Zalman, on that Rambam, it was Perek Chavez, if I'm not mistaken. So there you get a whole new look, that the Rambam is discussing something different than anybody else. Rambam is saying that it's a question of Shorin, and Evan Ozel compares it to the Rambam in the same Perek, talks about Kovesh Kvashim, a new kind of a din of Tikkun Ochel. It's nothing to do with classical Bishul. So there we say that if it was in point of fact already had a tikkun before Shabbos, there's no additional issue of tikkun ochlim on Shabbos. We're not discussing Shriya. We're not talking about a real bishul afterwards. So according to that, there's absolutely no source for the din of Ein Bishlach HaBishul. So I'm suggesting according to the Rambam, there's no such din. What do you mean no such din? No such din on Halacha L'maisa. With the Raisa, it's true. The Rambam said Mevushel Kol Tzarko is Potter, but only Potter. And now Mutter, Rai Kufem, hey, we rejected that Rai. Oh. So I found, believe it or not, it's amazing how things come together. In a beautiful Sefer called the Megillah Sefer, I think I have it downstairs in the base Medrash. So, he also starts walking along my path and saying, hey, wait a minute, is there really a source for the Rambam of Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul? So ultimately, he says, yes, there is such a source. And that source, he quoted from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon and the Bir Agra talk about what we call Hachzara. You can put something on a fire on Shabbos. How is it possible? It must be that Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul. We thought there was absolutely no raya whatsoever. We had a problem with the grow meant. The grow was very terse. Because in that case, it had never cooled down, if you recall. So if it never cooled down, that's not what we call Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul. It never cooled down. The case we're describing is a case in which it was hot, and then it cooled down completely. Now you want to reheat it. Solid, liquid, whatever the case may be. So then, we're suggesting according to the Rambam would be absolutely prohibited. It would be considered a bishul midirabanan. That's why we use the word potter. It's potter, but it would not be mutter. So too, with respect to davashen bishul klal, presumably potter, but still would be aser. This is what's suggested within Shitas Rambam. And if you had cold food, therefore you would not be able to reheat it. We're suggesting according to Shitas Rambam. So I saw even more fascinating, unbelievable, that the Megillah Seva quotes yet another Rambam, and he says, you know, there is an issue called Molid Chom. Molid Chom. Ram created a new issue called Molid Chom. I think Perek Dal Halacha Vav, and he's bothered if Molid Chom is Aser, so why, in point of fact, is there a Heter on Daf Kuf Mem Hey Amid Beis, and why is there a Heter on Mem Beis Amid Aleph? To put certain circumstances, a complicated sugya, you're putting some cold water into hot water. What do you mean? You're being molded chom. Those were two kashas. This just sort of has no teretz. And I jumped on this. That this is confirms my theory. Molded chom, but that's not kind of separate violation as he would have it. No, molded chom is what we called before bishul acha bishul. Bishul acha bishul according to Rambam is awesome, but they're abanon. So why is the mutter in those two cases? So the answer we gave before, those are not really bishul cases. It's only a case of shorin, right? This is a separate tikkun ochlim. And in Afmen Beis, it's in a klisheni. So it's in a klisheni, ain't a mavashel. It's ain't a mavashel, so there's no issur of molad chom. If molad chom is an independent issur, is the author of Megillah Sefer, what have you, has no answer. To the contrary, this molad chom, that's exactly what we call bishul acha bishul, which is part of Rabbalas. That only confirmed my suspicions within Shitas Rambam. It's a Chiddush Nifla. I haven't seen it anywhere. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, I don't know. But I'm just giving you a little a Chiddush. Rabbi Osai, so we said before that the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskins, Yesh Bishul Lach HaBishul B'Dover Lach, and the Rambam has a funny compromise about Nitzana Legamri. But the Mechaber, although he himself has no compromises, there is a Ramah in Shin Yud Ches Sif Dalid who Lefia Mechaber throws in another variable, a remarkable variable. When the Mechaber says in Simon Shin Yud Ches Sif Dalid, Tavshin Shbashal Kol Tzorch Yeshem Hashem Bishul, I mean it's tiny because it's liquid. Add the Ramah. It's not the Ramah's own. The Ramah explaining the Mechaber. V'yesh Omrim. Davka mitztamik v'yofalo. Rabbeinu Yeruchim, the famous Rabbeinu Yeruchim, that yesh bishul lach habishul b'davalach, only if mitztamik v'yofalo. Presumably wouldn't apply to water. Here's another irony. Before we thought that water is more chomer than other liquids, right? Because water reverts back to its original state. Now we can suggest that water is more chomer than other liquids, according to the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, quoted by the Ramah, because water is clearly with tzadik v'ralo, based on the Gemaris, and it just evaporates, and you get less, doesn't improve the taste. Whereas other things could be liquids could be with tzadik v'yafalo, perhaps. And therefore, they would be more chomer than water. This is an amazing Rabbeinu Yeruchim. It's hard to understand fully why it should be so. What's pshat? Why should it be so? So the And the Mepharshim suggest, the Taz says that if you have a heating of what we call the rotev, with together with simuk, which is some kind of a process which is described here, it's tanik v'yafalo, that's what's called a shinui gadol. A shinui gadol. But if it's a mistamik v'ralo, he throws in a few reasons why it might be mutter. One of them is, look, meleches machsheves osra torah. Why is it? This is not a meleches machsheves. It's mitzdamek v'ralo. And we're not going to say it's in a miskaven of segregation. No. It's a shortcoming within meleches machsheves. This could be, as the Beis Yosef himself quotes, he attributes it to Rabbeinu Yerucham. We couldn't find it there directly, but this is the Beis Yosef's own compromise. Seems to say that according to this Shana Rabbeinu Yerucham, if the majority is solid and the minority is liquid, it would be okay. And it's the same lumdus. If the majority is solid, the minority is liquid, it's a short cognitive melechas machshavas. He really doesn't want it to become mitzdamek, because mitzdamek is not good for the solid, it is good for the liquid, things of this nature. So then it's bottom line is he doesn't really want it. This is a possible shita, and this is how the some of Farshim explain. There are others, and once again, I'm quoting from this wonderful sefer Shvus Yitzchak. He in turn is quoting from the Chazon Ish. Goes in a slightly different way. I'll just refer you to it. You want to look it up? It's in page Shin Samach. I'm not going to go into it in more detail because we want a sort of a lack of time here. So you look, it's a slightly different interpretation. Let me tell you, but first, before we go into the details, halacha l'maisa, most posts can reject this whole Rabbeinu Yerucham. And they say that those who aser bishlach abishav adavalach do it across the board, irrespective of this mitzvah v'riyofalo or mitzvah v'ralo. So this is just sort of a bit of a pilpul, but there's a discussion about whether you follow the majority or don't follow the majority. The Prima Gada wanted to follow the majority in a case where a person is pouring water from a Kli Rishon on tea leaves. Let's say the tea leaves are already fully cooked, things of this nature, but there's some little bit of water left there. So the Prima Gadim suggests, well, we'll follow the majority. The majority is solid, and the majority is not liquid. Problem is, Rav Osai, here, you're not eating this solid. The solid is tea leaf. You don't eat the tea leaves. This is a major problem. Rav Moshe has this kasha. And they say, well, it's only Chumra B'Alma. They keep going the same pismen. Only Chumra B'Alma, so it'll be lenient, even though it's Misvara, doesn't make too much sense. The Taz, again, the Taz we said before about Melech Machshavas Asra Torah, that was his second Teretz. The Taz had an earlier Teretz, namely, that based upon the Torah, and unbelievable Pshat he has in the Torah, when something reaches Machal Ben Drusoi, the culpability to continue its cooking process would only be midrabanan. That's a very, very big chiddush. And by the same token, yesh bishlach abishah balach is also only midrabanan. And the Mefarshim asked questions, we had some answers based on yet a different Prima Gadim. Again, I can't go into all the details now, just take much too long. Bottom line is, this is a real complicated question. And halacha l'maisa, yes, there are poskim who say that bishlach abishav balach is only about mistamik v'yafalo. And yes, there are those who say it's only if the majority is liquid, but the halacha lemaisa, we don't accept either of these premises. That's we got stuck in problems even with those few drops we spoke about earlier. Now let's get halacha lemaisa when it comes to the powdered tea and the powdered coffee. Rabbi, all we're talking about for the last hour is bishlach habishlus. It's a long topic. What are you saying? Is it mutter? Is it aser? So at first glance, it's accepted that it's mutter. People do it all the time. They take instant tea, or they'll take instant coffee, which has presumably been cooked at a very high temperature, and they say there's no problem of bishul achar bishul. Question is, are there any problems with this? Are there any problems with it? So, there is a potential problem. Sefer called the Ginas Vradim has a chiddush that there's yesh bishul achar bishul here when you remove the taste. Hotzoas tam. Where do you get it from? Kind of from a rush in Simon Yud talks about samamonim, Yud Aleph, special samamonim. There, as long as you're motzi tseva, you would be chayav. The definition of cooking is somewhat different with respect to the dye, and so too with respect to the coffee or tea powder, if you will. Take our time, it's also the chasam sofer in a tshuva. We had this on the board. Simon Ayin Dalit says no. When it comes to salmonin, you don't use the salmonin themselves. You're only using the dye that comes out. So as long as you get more dye, you're chayim. It's impossible to talk about ein bishul acha bishul. As opposed to a food. Very nice chasam sofer. Are tea leaves a food? Do you ever eat the tea leaves? Not so simple. We had suggested that tea leaves is not a food because no one ever eats the tea leaves. We wanted to draw a distinction between tea and coffee. That tea leaves, you just throw the tea bag into the garbage at the end. Whereas coffee, at least certainly instant coffee, the coffee is dissolved into the drink. Instant tea, it's also dissolved into the drink. So we wanted to make certain suggestions that maybe would be potentially permissible, we thought. Not 100% sure. If it's not eaten in and of itself, it's not. Some people eat it, but most people don't eat it. So we left this as sort of an open question. We saw that the Aruch HaShulchan said that don't tell me the tea was cooked. Number one, it's a lie, and number two, even if it was cooked, quote. Mochrim osam kedei levashlo. And how can we say it's mevushal kol tzarko? The problem is, all these things also are sold kedei levashlo. Kedei levashlo. That's why those instant tea, instant coffee should all be prohibited. As a matter of fact, he applies it not only to tea and to coffee, he applies it even to chocolate. Chocolate, he calls it over there. And the only time he's matir, the Aruch HaShulchan, is if you have what they call tea sense, essence. Because they were saying, you're not really cooking the tea sense, you're just diluting it. Different terminology. That's what we had suggested. So, we can argue that any powder which is ultimately dissolved and consumed can also view it as diluting it. If you want to be creative, perhaps with the same head that the Aruch HaShulchan had for his tea sense, should exist with respect to instant tea and instant coffee, and he was only being machmir when you had grinds or bags, in which case the original item that you gave out the flavor is never consumed itself. Perhaps we're not exactly sure how to slice as well. We just don't know for sure. We're not sure. But again, giving some of the highlights. There are those who say, no problem, use kli shlishi. We haven't gotten to this discussion yet, but suffice to say right now that not everybody agrees that kli shlishi works. The Aruch HaShulchan himself didn't like it, and there were those who go as far as to say, based on the earlier poskim, we'll make this comparison to Mishnah Berurah did, to Kulia Sa'ispinin, which is a something which is prohibited, Rabosai, even in a Kli Shlishi, and believe it or not, even if less than Yad Soletisba. So it becomes a whole story. I'm not a big fan of Kli Shlishi, I told you that. Rav Moshe is not the Kli Shlishi, I'm not being chayilis to argue on Minig America, but if you ask me, I would stay far away. We'll get to later if there's any possible tikkun. Again, when it comes to the instant that we can be make, despite that there are some achmirim, the instants that are dissolved and are consumed, we'll view it as a dilution as opposed to a cooking something which is not consumed, which is a tea bag and coffee grinds. That seems to be much worse. Moving right along, Rabosai, there's an issue with respect to Bishul Achar Afiyah. Sure, ain't Bishul Achar Bishul, that's the cloud. But what about Bishul Achar Afiyah? There's a famous Urayim, that the Urayim said, Yesh Bishul Achar Afiyah. Has to do with a very careful reading of the Gemaras in a few Masechtas, mostly in Pesachim and in Brachas. Big dispute. There's a Mordechai with a Rav Yoh refuting the proof from that the Urayim brings. A whole discussion. Before going on, I wanted to just mention to you that the Urayim is the one who says that Kli Shlishi is Hasar. That line was not quoted in the Mordechai. People didn't realize it, so that's what they were. I wonder if they would have realized it, what they would have said. Okay, it's just as a parenthetical comment. We had a discussion of the, we didn't go into every last detail of the riots that are brought by the poskim on this weighty matter, but we did discuss a little bit the issue of Bishul Achar Afiyah, and there are those poskim who say that Bishul Achar Afiyah is Asur. And there are those who said that it is mutter. And there was a very important question as to those who say it's also, why they say it's also. How do they eliminate the questions that are raised against the shita? Two fundamentally different approaches. One was to say that Bishul Achar Afiyah is really fundamentally a matter of tikkun. Of tikkun, it's a totally different, state. It has different qualities. It's not fair to compare something which is cooked to something which is baked. Two different qualities, and if they're two different qualities, therefore you change from one to the other. This itself would make you chayef. Okay, two different qualities. You may recall that the Rav Yoh, right over here, in Siman Shin Beis, refuted the Urayim's proof. Because you see that Bishul is not Mevatel Afiyah, because Shani Mata Devinin Tamata Veleka. That was the proof that to the contrary. The Rav Yoh brought a proof that it ain't Bishul Achar Afiyah. That really, from the perspective of Lechem Oni, of Lechem, before we get to Oni, Lechem, it really would be okay, it's just it runs afoul of the only problem of the Tom problem, but really the original state of Afiyah really is preserved. So the Egle Tal says the Pshat in the Gemara according to the Urayim when it says Binan Tamatza Veleka means that Bishul was Mevatel the Afiyah according to Tosis and Masechta Pesachim on Memalef, we saw that's his approach. So it's halachic according to the Egle Tal. The Taz had a more pragmatic view. Pragmatic view, he said, you know, you need Tam Matzah. You also need Tam Tavshil. Why? Again, back to me, isn't it ironic? Had it twice in a row in the Taz. Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. Think about it for a second. It's the same Taz we said by the Mistamach Viofalo, Mistamach Viralo, he invokes Meleches Machsheves. He's a pragmatist, the Taz. Veleches machsheves osra Torah. It shouldn't depend upon the shame bishul, the shame tzli, the shame afiyah ofui. Shinu tam b'metzias. There could be a number of nafkaminis. We spoke about the question of tzli achar afiyah. So the prima gadim asks tzli achar afiyah because it's a different taste. right? Because you take bread, you make it into toast, it's a different taste. That's what the Sefer Orchel Shabbos said, you can't make toast, right? According to the Taz, it's a new time. The Magen Avraham said it's not a problem to make toast. Why? Because as the Machzor Shekel explains, that Afia and Tzliya are similar. So there's no new halachic advancement when you moved it from the state of Afui to a state of Tzol. They're the same thing. And therefore there's no Tzli Achar Afia. You can make toast. This is the halachic approach. It's the pragmatic approach, and there's a halachic approach. If it's a halachic approach, not all halachic states were created equal. You may recall the Shulta Giborim said that Yesh Bishul Achar Afir and Tzliya, but Ein Tzliya Achar Bishul. And the Torah actually quotes this. So it seems that if you hold like the Taz, this makes no sense. Or the Eglei Tal, it does make sense. Bishul is a higher, more advanced level of preparing food than is Tzli. Why? Bishul goes through and through. Tzli only affects the outer rim. So Bishul is a higher madrega than is Tzli. So we can say Yesh Bishul Achar Tzli, but we can say Ein Tzli Achar Bishul. I would, however, say Afia is the highest level. Afia is considered to be bread. Bread is all unique in so many halachic ways, for benching and for hamotzi and for matzah and for all kinds of different things. So therefore, we can make the following comment. Eglei Tal says, even if Ein Bishul Achar Afia, many Rishonim hold, they would agree that Yesh Afia Achar Bishul. It's a sugya Masechta Yevamos. Again, they're going with the halachic approach, as opposed to the Taz, goes with the pragmatic approach. It's to be very relevant in every Jewish home. Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Yud Ches Sif Tes Vov that it's permissible to place cooked food near a fire. Asks the Bir Halacha, what do you mean? It's Tzliach HaBishul. It's Tzliach HaBishul, because you're putting it near a fire without a medium of water. She considered Tzli Achar Bishul. According to the Taz, it's Nicha. Come on, you call this Tzli. It's warming it up. Doesn't have a taste of barbecue. Just warming up the original boiled chicken. But what about those who have the halachic definition? So I don't know. Unless you want to suggest that the Shulchan Aruch, radical suggestion, holds Yesh Afia, Yesh Bishul Achar Afia, as he said in Sif Hei, but Ein Tzliya Achar Bishul, as the Shulta Giborim had suggestion. And finally, this is relevant to a double move, right? Tzli Achar Bishul Achar Tzli, or Bishul Achar Tzli Achar Bishul. So the Bialoch and Sif Hei quotes the Prima Gadim, who says, Ein Bishul Achar Tzli Achar Bishul. And the Bialoch is not so sure. So we can say like this. We can say, look, if the first shame is still kayim, that's many posts can discuss whether this Bishul Achar Afia is the first shame kayim, and they have both shamus, or no, the first shame is batel. So the Bialoch and the Prima Gadim assume that the shame Rishon is kayim. So the Prima Gadim says, look, if the shame Rishon is kayim, we should say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That would be true according to the Eglei Tal's approach, the halachic approach. You follow the pragmatic approach of the Taz, you change the taste. Who cares the first shame is Kaya? It was once Tzli, now it became Bishul, now it comes Tzli again, all the other way around. Bishul, Tzli, Bishul. Is it simply a change? Once such a dramatic change exists, and pragmatically, one would assume that perhaps you would be Chayv. You would be Chayv. It's true that the Bi'a Halacha is Machmir Halacha Lamaisa against the Taz. If you have Bi'a Halacha is Machmir, if you put the cooked food near the fire, he's worried about Tzli achar bishul, even in the absence of a dramatic change in the taste. So perhaps the bialach holds from tzvei dinim. Catch this now. We had a hakira of both sides. Is it halachic or is it pragmatic? It's this chumra of bishlach or afiyah. The answer is it's both. It's both. So in the case of the prima godim, it's chayav because of the pragmatic change. In the case of the Shulchan Aruch, he's worried about the halachic change, perhaps. And then I saw, just one final nakuda, I saw in the Sefer Orcha Shabbos, talks about these powders. These powders, Rabbi Osai. And there's a problem with the powders. Even if they're originally cooked, subsequently they're dried. They're dried. And the question is this drying process, maybe it's kind of an afia, or it's kind of a tzlia. So it's what we call bishul, achar, tzlia, achar, bishul. And they say, well, maybe the drying does not rise to the level of afia and tzlia. On mahalach, we can say it's mutter what we call memanoshach. As far as the shini hatam, the drying process is not considered to be afia or tzlia, as we had said earlier. And from the halachic perspective of bishul achar afia, we'll call apidin, you're not chaya because it was mizbashal from the very beginning. So neither would exist in this kind of a case. Rabosai, a very brief discussion of bishul achar afia. Fine. Now we have hereby finally concluded this literally hour-long discussion of bishul achar bishul. We spoke of many different subtopics in Bishlach HaBishl, right? Kamacha Ben Rusoi, and what about metal, what about the sun, and what about liquid soup and water, what about Lonetstan and Lagamre, right? What about if it's solid and becomes liquid, with or without a continual pouring? What about the Rambam's unique view we suggested? What about the stomach viralo by liquids? What about the tea and the coffee instant? What about Ofui? And what about Tziach HaBishl Vafia? So we've completed, it took a long time to discuss this topic. That was our main topic. So now, with your permission, continue a little bit longer to discuss other issues of Bishl. Okay, our first issue is the Shear of Yatzah Lettuce Bow. The Shear of Yatzah Lettuce Bow. It's such an important discussion. How you define Yatzah Lettuce Bow. It's such an important discussion. It's relevant to so many areas of halacha. So I, frankly, I wanted to lowball it, if you ask me to have a low shear. And I had a couple of riots. One of my riots was that the Gemara seems to say you can have water cooking in the sun, and cooking by definition is the outside lettuce bowl. How hot can it get in the sun already? All right, the Israeli sun is a hot sun, the summertime. All right. How hot? No one helped me out on the internet with the sun. How hot can water get if you leave it in the sun? I really was anxious to get some scientific. We have people in the labs. Find out. There probably is a place where they use solar, alternative energy. Someone told me there's a Hanukkah light here, which is used with the Belfer wind tunnel. So we're holding Hilchos alternative energy. So we can, how hot can the water get in the sun? How hot can it get already? Will it get more than 115? That's your magic number. I'm not sure. Anybody know? Nobody knows. So, but if you can find out for me, I'd be appreciative. That's my shtickle raya. That's a relative on the low end. I don't think it gets 160 degrees in the sun. I can't imagine it. And the Gemara seems to be clearly discussing water which is heated in the sun, and by definition is to be considered cooked after yatsa lettuce bowl. So, I don't know how to get out of that so-called proof. Now, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, on the other hand, wanted to prove that it can't be less than 113, typical of Shlomo Zalman, because he said that it's clear that the chom beis hashchita is not quite yatza lettuce bow, and he discovered up his scientists that the hottest it gets is the shchita of a duck. He did some kind of an experiment, and it was 113 degrees. Guaranteed of Shlomo Zalman till 113 was okay. And this is a chiddush nifla lekula, because Rabbi Shlomo Zalman came from in the old city of Yerushalayim. They were marked for 40 grad, 40 degrees Celsius, which is 104. So Shlomo Zalman successfully pushed it up 5 degrees, we call it 9 degrees, to 45, a.k.a. 113. So Shlomo Zalman did us a tremendous taiva to push it up, and based on our two Talmidim in the lab, Shlomo Zalman is correct. Once you get to 115, you already have a problem. They couldn't keep their hands in the water indefinitely, which may be a definition of Yatzel Letisbo. So I'm not willing to be makel on that low end any more than Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. Baruch Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, Shekiva and the Emes, that at 113 the Talmidim could keep their hands in the water indefinitely. Okay, it's amazing how Chacham Arif Minavi. Okay, fine. This is the low end. Now the higher end, my understanding is, they will not accept the definition of keeping your hands in there indefinitely. No. So let us, they'll interpret to mean that you pull back. You pull back your hand. Now clearly, as we said before, the Gemara speaks about people who are washing their hands in Yatzel Letisbo for water. Whether it's good or no good for Netilas Sadayim, for Mayim Rishonim, for Mayim Achronim, a whole discussion. We're not talking about Mishugoyim, we're going to burn their hands. So I thought, as a right again to the low ball, it's 130, let's call it 115 degrees. So it is, in fact, Yatzel Letisbo, if you leave your, you can't leave your hand there for a whole minute. You want to know, when you wash your hands, it rolls right off your hands. So therefore, it can be that temperature, no problem. We already had, I thought, a contradiction between a bath and a shower. A bathtub maven told us that the hottest a person ever sets a hot tub is 111 degrees, which fits in nicely with what we said with Shlomo Zalman. That's comfortably 1 degree Celsius less than Shlomo Zalman's max. Then 45 is 44. Once you get to 46, you already can't keep your hand in anymore. So that seems to fit in with this mahalach. But I'm convinced, I told you, when I take a shower, again, I want you to find this for me. No one can find, I can't find it on the internet. There must be by the gvirim, a way that you can, the same way that the gvir and ashir has his hot tub regulated to the exact degree. So there must be gvirim who don't take hot tubs. They have no time. They take showers, but they want the water to come automatically to a particular preset heat. I have trouble believing it doesn't exist. And I want to know, what would the preset heat be? My guess is, it's more than 111. Because 111 is in the hot tub, where you're there indefinitely, and in a hot shower, where it just rolls right off your back, literally, so you would be higher, yes?
In the locker room, too, they
can view. Why you locker rooms have it? Yeah. We're so gvirim? I guess $40,000 tuition, they can afford such a...
What? It's not happening. And also in the shower, you can see the temperature.
Really? Yeah. Guys, I'm making it. We have a tzibri. Everyone go take a shower. Do me a favor, take a shower today there. And I want to know, we have a nice random sample here. Everyone takes a shower, and we'll find out what the people will put in there. This, I don't know that. See? You see? You always, I'm giving you an assignment.
They say that the maximum safe temperature is 104. So
there, Yerushalayim, Fertigrad.
I think they say this hotels, most of them, much, much higher, and it's very dangerous.
What kind of hotels? I'm convinced that in my house, my apartment building, the hot water is more than 104. I can't, unless I'm wrong, I don't know. Why hotels? Hotels give you what you want, right? And I believe private homes also give you what you want. Even your private house, I believe, is more than 104. I'm telling you what I think. But isn't it amazing, 104? Shlomo Zalman, that's 80%
of hotels give water in excess of 115. That's dangerous.
There you go. 115 is exactly the shear, because if you stay in there for too long, as you proved it, you can't be in there for more than a minute. Amazing. Isn't it amazing? 104, 115. All our halachic shiurim are coming out on the internet. Now go to the dorm. Where is this? In the gym? Where is this?
Gym.
The gym. Rabbi said, go to the gym. This is Hanukkah, we all became the gymnasia of Greece. Someone told me today an editorial in the New York Times about this. Unbelievable. That the Chashmonaim were not the last angry bearded insurgents to score a military victory in Jerusalem. You looked at that phrase I saw this morning. I was not happy with that phrase. Yes. He's right that the world is an imperfect world, but still, I was still the political point they're trying to score were not to my liking. But you look, I mentioned it as a Mamar HaMuzger. In any event, so the assignment is to take a shower in the gymnasium, Kavod Chanukah, and Torah will vanquish Mada. not my mother, but I vanquished the gymnasium in the sense that we're doing it for Torah reasons to find out how hot the shower can be. I want to know. This is halacha l'maisa. Okay, so we're not exactly sure how we define yatzal lettuce, but it's certainly a very important halachic question. As I said to you before, the fact that the poskim are talking about washing your hands in yatzal lettuce with water indicates that it's a fairly low shear. Well, you'd wash your hands because the water washes right off, but if you left your hands there for a minute, it might start to scald. So we lack the lower shear, but there are those who have the higher shear. Rav Moshe is not sure. He wanted to go as high as 160. This beautiful sefer Shvus Yitzchok says the machlokes Mishnah Berurah and Chazon Ish. Mishnah Berurah has a lower shear, Chazon Ish has a higher shear. It's really hard to know. The poskim say you shouldn't measure by yatzal lettuce well, because as Rashi says in our daf, Mem and Beis, people have different tolerance to heat. Some can tolerate more, some tolerate less. So we have to follow the objective shear. What's the objective shear? Kreso shel tinek nichves. Right, don't do any experiments on that one. So it's really hard to know. And what does it mean, nichves? A first degree burn, a second degree burn? It's very hard to know the answer to all these questions. At first glance, we should be able to figure it out based on how hot the water is when we drink it and when we eat it. If you're going to assume, as the Kaf HaChaim says, that the Rashba has two phrases, that we don't wash in yatzal lettuce bowl, again, we don't bathe in yatzal lettuce bowl, and we don't drink yatzal lettuce bowl. So we don't bathe, that fits in, again, something going to the lower shear, that would fit in, because it's once it hits 115, it's already dangerous. So no one's going to presumably bathe in that water if it's so dangerous. Okay, and we're saying showers don't count. Those of us who like the lower shear. What about drink? People drink tea at such a hot, hot, hot level. So I said at Baruch Shekivanti to Gedoli Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yoshe Yerushalayim Zalman, who said that doesn't count when you just sip it and blow on it. That doesn't count. Drink means to drink it straight. But no one drinks, I don't think people drink tea straight. That's not the way you're supposed to drink it. So you really can't measure by drinking. Our scientists here told us when you blow on it, you're removing the little steam on top, which enables it to cool off better. I thank you for your scientific wisdom. So then I said, well, let's measure by eating. Okay? How hot is food when you eat it? Right? Because when you eat, you don't blow on it and you don't sip it. You eat it straight. Well, I don't know. Some food is hot, it actually burns your tongue. And would you eat that? Would you not eat that? It's really hard to know. So I'm leaving it as an unanswered question. But my netiya is to the lower end of yatzal lettuce bowl. But I'm not completely convinced. And then now there's a meiri, also discovered by this beautiful sefer Shavuos Yitzchok in Chulin Daf Kufches Amud Beis. He says, if the yad is sovelas, a new phrase, not sovelas but sovelas, yad can tolerate it. You force yourself. It's considered to be chom for blia purposes, but not for bishul purposes. What does that mean? Says the Shavuos Yitzchok. It means it's not yatzal lettuce bowl. Yatzal lettuce bowl cooks, and he's of the opinion, like the Rashba, that for blia purposes you don't need yatzal lettuce bowl. And he says people eat food. He claims, that people eat food at 140. Degrees. Whoa. He said that there are those who say that's less than yatzal lettuce bowl. Now, you need a good food thermometer to know you can just eat food straight, 140 degrees? I don't know. Because once you start blowing on it, and you start sipping it, sipping the equivalent of foods, and I sip food, maybe you nibble. I don't know. It doesn't count. But to eat food straight at 140, that's what he says. That, of course, will lead to a higher level. So, 160 seems to be a little bit mugzam on the one hand. 104 seems to be a little bit low on the other hand. So, but from 100 and, let's say 115 to 140, so we've lowered the range to a 25 degree uncertainty principle. Whereas originally it was more of a, let's say a 50 degree uncertainty principle, or 55 degrees. So we went from 55 down to 25 in our uncertainty. But still, we're still somewhat uncertain. So I would say that it's probably in there somewhere, based upon the whatever scientific facts we could bring to bear to try to figure this one out. Okay? Fine. Enough said. Again, this is, I have nothing definitive. What about my water? My can you get water to 140 degrees in the sun? I have my doubts. Maybe yes. It's hot in Eretz Yisrael in the summertime. I don't know. I'm just giving you my... we've tried again to narrow it from 104 to 160, or maybe 175 in one place. That's, so the maximum range is 70 degrees. That's wild. Then we knock it down to 55 degrees. We're trying to knock it down to 25 degrees from, we'll say, 115 to 140, and that general range, which is try to rate to lower it. Fine. Once we're on this topic, Rabbi Osai, we have to discuss, we spoke about Bishul Bechama. So it's a Gemara that talks about Bishul Bechama, Taflamet Tes Aman Aleph. And the Gemara, in discussing whether Bishul Bechama is Chayev or not Chayev, we pass, but it's not Chayev, what's going back and forth, invokes the Chamei Tveria. In the very last line, the Gemara says, that's told us, Ur, the Chalfi Apischa de Gehenim. And without being supernatural, we thought that perhaps it's a reference to what they call geothermic heat. Fine. Now, Rabosai, there is a Rashi, and this is an important Rashi. Rashi says, when it comes to Chama, why is an individual potter in a case in which it is cooked b'chama? So Rashi says, it's Ein Derech Bishul B'kach. Now, Ein Derech, you already heard from me so many times that Ein Derech Bishul B'kach, I'm not happy with it as a kind of a Kalach Yad. Rashi's Deshari, on the Flamet Tetzim and Aleph, the fourth narrow line. Deshari, the Ein Derech Bishul B'kach. B'chama B'olo Michlefa, etc. So I'm not so happy. Of course, if you take it literally, then it's possible to say that a microwave would be a daraisa, because today, although a microwave is sort of like chama, but it's common. Perhaps not as common as Rav Moshe thought it would be when he wrote his original tshuva. He thought it was going to take over the world. Didn't happen, but still, people do cook in microwaves. Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's mutter. Technically speaking, there are other issues, and the Gemara sounds that way. Abosai, there's no machlokus in the Metzias. Over here, whether people are cooking or not cooking on Chamei Tveria. So the fact that one mandama says Yechayev means that people are cooking on it. The other mandama says Yepata, it's told as Chama, even though it's a normal way of cooking, Rabosai. Seems to be Dava Pashut. How else are you going to get out of this? Well, there is a way out. We had suggested. So we can make the following suggestion. The reason why Bishul B'chama is potter is it's not Derech Bishul B'kach, because it doesn't work. In most foods, it's simply ineffective. And although, generally speaking, Kelach Yad is potter Av Alasser, here where in most cases it doesn't work, Chazam had a low plug Lekula in a certain sense, and they said it's always going to be mutter. We can say that Bishul B'chama is mutter because it's not the normal way. In most cases, it won't work. So we make the following suggestion. Chamei Tveria, Rabosai, is Ein Derech Levashim. According to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that Chamei Tveria is what it's told us, or it's going to be Potter Aval Aser. That's the answer to the question. It's going to be Aser, according to Rabbi Yossi. We have to cast it before Mamanashach. Who cares if it's from the Or, who cares if it's from the sun? If it's Derech Bekach, it's Chai. If it's Ein Derech Bekach, it's Potter. Here's the answer. It's Ein Derech Bekach. And Itaka is Potter. But it's Potter Aval Aser. Whereas according to those who say it's Toldos Achama, Toldos Achama is Mutter. Because the Chazam had a low plug the Kula. Since most things don't cook in the sun, whatever comes from the sun is actually Mutter. Potentially, again, this is only a Gzera told us this, other told us that, but fundamentally would be more permissible. Without going into all these details, I thought that we have to explain why is Chama different? Where does it come from? So Shlomo Zalman proves that Chama is different. It's not just a matter of Shabbos. It's relevant in Hilchos Korban Pesach, and Hilchos Matzah, and Hilchos Challah. What difference does it make if it's Ragel or not Ragel? That's what Shlomo Zalman's proof, that it's not purely based upon Regilas, as it might appear from a superficial reading of Rashi. And we went through the Gemara that Rav Shlomo Zalman quoted, we put them on the board, the Masechta Psachim. We thought maybe it's a special din, it's not considered to be Lechem. We can't make an absolute proof. Our vort was that the source of this all is a pasuk mefurish. Pasuk says, "Al tochlu minen no ubashal mevushal b'mayim ki im tzli eish." Here's where the word eish is finally found in the context of cooking. Sure, it's by contrast tzli eish as opposed to bashal mevushal b'mayim, which is also heated by eish. So I wanted to say, based on that pasuk, that if there's no fire, not considered to be Bishul Daraisa, and a microwave would be, in fact, no Bishul Daraisa, even if everyone would cook on a microwave. This does not seem to be with Rav Moshe. And again, Rav Moshe said it because he thought that's going to become the way of the world, that everything is cooked in microwaves. That never really happened. Even today, people don't cook most foods on microwaves. Okay, let's leave it at that. Now we come to, again, another major discussion, and that is Kli Sheni. A Mefurish Gemara, black on white, you can't deny it. Mem of the base, Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel. Black on white, Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel. So at first glance, it should solve all the world's problems. Well, not really. Because there are clearly exceptions to the rule. That's the Gemara we saw on Aflamet Tesam and Aleph, quoted from the Mishnah from Hamad Beis. Chutz, when a Meliach Vayoshin, for Kulios Ispinin, as we shall see soon, according to many, it's even a hadacha from a klisheni. So there are exceptions to the rule. What are these exceptions called? Some call them kalei habishul. So now there are some poskim who say we should aser all foods in a klisheni because we're not bucky what and what is not kalei habishul. That's quite a radical chumra, but it's found in the Magen Avraham. He suggests it, that everything we have to worry, maybe it should be considered Kalei HaBishul. That's number one. Number two, Rabosai, if you look at Toslam, Atesam, and Aleph, they have the following problem. The problem is, what do you mean? What do you mean that Medichin also B'chama B'Shabbos? According to Tosis, it's talking about a Hadachah from a Klisheni. So a Klisheni could even put into the Klisheni. The Tosas two terutzim. According to the first teretz, Rabbi, I'll say a chiddush nifle v'noyra, the Omeri. Ain shoren, why? Since the hot water is hot, merzikim mevashel. Wow. So we have two separate and distinct reasons as a klisheni. Kali habishel and merzikim mevashel. Aye, it's enough membeis, you can put it into the klisheni. That's only tavlin. Shem asuyin lematik asakadeel the merzikim mevashel. Either it's a secondary ingredient, I thought we think the green has Veradim interpreted the Tosis. Somebody Eider, I think, interpreted it. That's why coffee and tea would not be like tavlin, because it's the primary ingredient. Or, looking at the Ozerua, no. Since you put the tavlin into cold as well, it's not the cooking that's being done, it's just the flavoring that's being done. That's why it's not Mevzik and Mevash. Different take. Rabbi says, you have two Chumers Niflos. Everything is worried about Kali Abishal, and everything's worried about Merzik and Mevashel. Tosis discussed why Tavlin is not considered to be Merzik and Mevashel. Why isn't Tavlin Kali Abishal? So the answer presumably is a matter of Metzias. The Tavlin of yesteryear, they took a big root and they threw it in to give up some taste. And the big root, you couldn't cook through it so fast. What talks about Psar Shor doesn't cook through, so these roots are tough. Can't cook through it. On this basis, the Reposkin will say, now today, our tavlinim are granulated. And if they're granulated into very, 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 very thin granules, then to the contrary, it would be considered to be Kali HaBishul. Shlomo Zalman suggests that, others disagree, but it is a potential problem. My view is, the Shulchan Aruch, Maran Bet Yosef, never, almost never, is concerned about these Kli Sheni Chumris. Never quoted it. The only place we found the Mechaber, they found the course cliche in the whole Shinyan Chesed, ironically, in the case of Bishul Achar Afia, a case in which, according to many, we showed him as Het HaGomer, put there based upon the Mordechai, he asked even B'Kli Sheni. We were bothered by this tremendously. Why did he ask for it there and nowhere else? Question number one. Question number two. Tosis just talks about Tavlin, and they try to take care of it from the Merzik and Mevashel perspective. And we have to take care of it from the Kali Abishal perspective. But there's another exception to the rule, and that is water. A whole Sugat Daf Mem Beis, where it's clear that you can put water into a Kli Sheni, cold water into hot water in a Kli Sheni. And the obvious question is, Gevalt, doesn't the cold water get cooked up? We found an incredible, mind-boggling Rashba. That the Rashba said, when you put cold water into hot, don't think that the cold water got cooked up. No, chas v'shalom. The reason why the whole thing is hot is because the hot water didn't cool down. After Shvisa Shabbos, I'll put a baby bottle in glass into a totally impervious glass. I'll put it into the hot water, and the contents of the baby bottle will get very, very hot. I have my own personal experience in this regard. So how can you tell me that the reason why it's hot is only because the hot didn't cool down? It's against science. Big problem. So I try to answer all these questions with the following yisod, which I picked up from Rabbi Shimon Ayres, that's how. He said it in describing Bishul B'chama, a little cliche, a little bit. Namely, that is a concept called Derech Bishul, which means that foods can normally be cooked in this level of heat. If foods can normally not be cooked in this level of heat, then it's not considered to be Derech Bishul. And although typically Kilach Yad is also a Derabonon, it's a low plug lakula. Very nice low plug lakula, but the problem will be the rabbis can't make low plugs lakula by the rice. So the answer is, it's not as a rice, it's not a chance, because it's not the normal way to cook this in a cliche. You want to heat something up, you normally put it into a kli rishon. So since we're reduced to the rabbanon is a mega across the board. However, I'm suggesting, when it comes to baked goods, the Talmidim strived mightily to find cases where baked goods are in fact placed in the kliyishen. They did a pretty good job. They found the matzah balls, and something called French something, which I remember, French onion soup. I'm not sure exactly what. Is that what they serve at the weddings? They have soup, and then they have some bread on top of it. Is that called French onion soup? Yeah. Oh, so I do know what it is. Okay. How they do that exactly? I never figured out how they made that. Whatever it is, they found a couple of cases, but I wanted to suggest that because of the obscurity of these cases, that we don't have any guarantee that matzah balls existed bisman chazal, although we should be worried about it today. Today matzah balls are a delicacy. That it's more common to place baked goods into a klisheni than into a klirishin, and therefore we can't take any chances. We should consider it as a possibility of Kali Abishal. It's easy to cook pre-baked foods. And since people will more likely put it into cliche and a clearishin, we don't have any luxury of saying it's a derabbanan, so we can play with it. That's why I wanted to suggest. Watch why the Mechaber only is machmir of all places in the case of Bishul Achar Afia, which is controversial. And it's megal to put all other raw foods in a clicheni. Why? That's not the normal way. The normal way is to put it into a clearishin. Once it's baked, it's not so normal to put it into klibishin. That's my mahalach. And with this mahalach, I wanted to explain, Rabosai, the Rashba as well. The Rashba as well. The lashon of the Rashba, which is going to give you the lashon. The lashon is very important. It's hard to explain it this way, but I'll tell you the lashon of the Rashba. It's written down. Here's the Rashba. The Rashba says, we see b'chush, rohan b'chush, that the cold water gets hot, yatsa lettuce bow. What is the answer? No. They didn't, the tzonim didn't reach out to lettuce bow. You reach, your hand feels yatsa lettuce bow. Only why? Because of the chamim shalon, it's tananim. It's very hard to understand. Very hard to understand. So here is what I think the pshat is. The same Rashba, Naf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, says you cannot put water into an ambati, which is klisheni. Machlokes with ambati is klisheni sheni. Naf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. This is his lashon. The yev shal lovel the yev shal the day bishul. The afa pisha hu klisheni hu va'alma enam avashel hachashini. Fishadarkon lechamamon yoser midai. Wow. Darkon lechamamon yoser midai. That's his lashon when it comes to ambati. What's his lashon in a plain cup? He says as follows. Afilu ayumayim sheyatzaledes v'leachash in his arbatzon v'besochon eino machmas atzonin in shabo or shavu lios yatzaledes v'o ela machmas v'rishonim v'shlonim tzananu. In my view, he doesn't mean it scientifically. He means it based on what we just said before, the other Rashba. Darkon. The key is derech. The key is derech. Rabosai, typically, and if you put food, you put water into a cliche, what you're trying to do is cool down the existing drink. Let's say you have hot coffee. Ooh, too hot. You put in milk, not only give you a taste of milk, but to cool down the coffee. So therefore, it's going to be okay. You're going to cool it down to the point that you will be able to drink it. So therefore, Rabosai, typically, it's going to be, the Rashi himself said that a person does not drink Yatzaledesbo liquids. So you're aiming for beneath Yatzaledesbo. If you made a mistake, and by mistake the combination is Yatzaledesbo, you're not going to be chayav anyway, because that was not your intention. It's not the derech of a mixture to be Yatzaledesbo in a klisheni. You want to heat things up, you put them in a klirishon. You want to cool them down, you're mixing things in a klisheni. That's my pshat in the Rashba. The fiyani has died, that's pshat in the Rashba. And I think that's a possible pshat. Again, I'm not saying there's no other pshat, but the other pshat seems to be anti-scientific. Well, this pshat is based on Mandaka Bechach, seems to be able to carry the day. I did have a problem, Rabosai, that nowadays it may not be true. Because nowadays people sip the coffee, sip the tea, and they blow on it, they sip on it. So people are, in fact, these days drinking water, which is, drinks are very, very, very hot, way above Yatzaledes, probably even above 160, certainly above 140. So I don't know if this logic applies anymore, frankly. But perhaps, in a case in which it's the typical case is to make it less than Yatzaledes, but even if it happens to be Yatzaledes, but you'll be potter, it's ain't darko bekach, as opposed to an ambati. An ambati, they made it very hot. Now you're asking the obvious question. Why they make the ambati very hot if the Rashi himself says there were not roiches in an ambati? I'm asking a question internally within the Rashi. The Rashi says, Dakon lechamon yosem yidai, and the Rashi himself says, Ein odam roiches v'mayim shiatzel erzbo. How do you reconcile these two? I don't know. One of two ways. Either to say they were going to the shvitz, to the sauna, which came from the hot water, or to say that the typical way of doing it was to make it very hot and then mix in cold water. Remember the Sugan Membeis that they say if you're not going to allow pouring the cold water into the hot water, so rechitza b'chama hecha meshkacha. So they always would mix things in. That was the normal way, and that would be chayim. So I guess the Rashi gives an impression that for bathing they make it super hot and then mix it with cold water, but when it came to liquids to drink, that was not the derech. The derech was not to be mechamam yosem yidai. The derech was just to barely get it to a hot point, which was less than yatzaledes bo. So that's why it's considered to be mutter. B'sman hazeh, maybe it's a little bit different. We have a potential problem. Ad kan my explanation of the Rashba and of the mechaber, that the mechaber is the one who said that you only are worried about kali abishal in the case of afiyah and nothing else. Oh. Now, as far as merzik and mevashel when it comes to liquids, comes to gemara says, but water, there's no merzik and mevashel. So again, I'm suggesting to you the same reason that typically it's done to cool off something, not to heat up something. And this makes it a possibility, and I think the post can have it as well, which is distinguish between different kinds of mixtures. If you put in some sense concentrate, a tea concentrate, to heat it up in the klisheni, they are trying to heat up the concentrate. you're putting some milk in the coffee, so then you're trying to cool down the coffee. Now, in the case of the milk, you have another thing going for you. In both cases, actually, it's bishul acha bishul b'davalach. So you have the mekilim by bishul acha bishul. Well, I did see that from the Yashiv, Shalita suggests that maybe when it comes to pasteurized milk, we should not consider it to be mevushal, because not mevushal called tzarko. It's put in, how many say, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, or something, half a minute, whatever it was, minute, some short amount of time. I thought that it's mevushal called tzarko. That's the whole tzarek is to get out the germs. So if it's if enough, 30 seconds enough, that's it. And he suggests, no, that maybe you want to really make it, when you cook milk, those of us who drink hot milk for chocolate milk or something like that, or plain hot milk, who drinks plain hot milk these days? Not so fashionable. Yeah, okay, so how did you do it? Cooks it for more than 30 seconds, you'd say, huh?
I guess,
that'd be mevushal kol tzarko, although I don't know. I don't know. So Rabbi Yoshev is of the opinion, pasteurization is not considered kol tzarko. I'm not sure if that's true today, because most of us don't drink hot milk. We'd be just using it to be, again, I don't know. So in his house, they say they take the coffee and they heat it up on Erev Shabbos. They make some kind of a concentrate and they take the milk and they heat it up. And a lot of action in our kitchen on Erev Shabbos. Okay? But most of us are not Madrigan. So there are important nuances over here with respect to this issue. And once we're talking on the topic, I thought that the Shmir Shabbos quotes a raya from the Rafa the Mechaber in Shin Yud Ches Sif Yud Gimel to try to resolve a dispute between the Gedolei Olam, the Alter Rebbe who's making the Shaila, and the Mishnah Berurah who seems to be Machmir about Bishul Shar Mashkin B'Klisheni. Mayim is Mutter and Shar Mashkin is a question. So enough on the Mechaber Sif Yud Gimel Mutter Litan Kidon Shal Mayim or Shal Shar Mashkin B'Klisheni Shish B'Mayim Chamin Mufur Shal Mechaber. So there are those who distinguish between you pouring it in and pouring it in a self-contained jug, and they go back to the whole Shaila Nap Memam Bey, where the proof is from a self-contained jug. Rama Tul B'Klisheni B'Tain Pach Shal Shemem Babati. The Rashba is a Marashah, there's all kinds of poskim talk about it. But I thought that perhaps the Machmirim are only Machmir according to the Mogan Avram. The Mogan Avram is the one who says that Klisheni is also for two reasons. Mirzik Mevashon, Kali Abishul. The Machaber, we said, except with the one exception of baked goods, is made by Klisheni. So you can't bring me a raya for the fact that the Mechaber is made by Klisheni, by Shar Mashkin, the Sifyut Gimel, to what the Mogan Avraham would say, which is what we're really fighting about. What the Mogan Avraham say when it comes to Shar Mashkin other than water? Can't bring me a raya from the Mechaber who's made by Klisheni across the board except for baked goods. That was my ha'ara against the Chocham Echad that was quoted by the Sefer Shmira Shabbos Kil Chasim. Later, Mepharshim pointed out that when the Mishnah Berurah was seemed to be Machmir back in Sifkot and Lamates earlier discussing making of tea, he hadn't even brought up yet the concept of Kalei HaBishul. He hadn't even mentioned it yet. That's Sif Dalet. Kalei HaBishul comes up with Sif Hey. So they want to suggest that perhaps the Mishnah Berurah is Machmir on the Merzik and Mevashel front when it comes to Shar Mashkim, not on the Kalei HaBishul front. And then once you say that, we could perhaps make a distinction between where it's cooling down the original content or it's heating up the what you're pouring in, as we mentioned before. This is what's quoted by certain mefarshim. Now, what about klishlishi? Tea and a klishlishi. We mentioned before there were Moshe's mekel and tea and a klishlishi. Why not? This is a Moshe. We thought it's a big problem. Major, major, major problem. Major problem. Prima Gadim distinguishes between Shani and Shlishi, and he's made by Kli Shlishi when it comes to tea. Comes to tea. And they quote Mogan Avraham that he says, even though Kli Shani is what's called maflit. We'll get to that later. But Iroi is not, and Kavachomer, Kli Shlishi. And there are those, therefore, who say Kli Shlishi is a valid heter against the Urayim. We know the Urayim. We know about him. No, we didn't know. We know about him. He's wrong. We don't accept him. Mainstream halacha doesn't accept him. The Aruch HaShulchan screams and yells, Einenu Ros. The tea is cooked in a Kli Shlishi. So the... It's a problem. So there's certain poskim. We saw the Megillah Sefer says, we'll say, another Behuda, that Kali Abishal only applies to Shabbos and not to Issa V'Heter. So by Kli Shlishi, we can argue that even though there's no Plata, as the Magen Avraham says in Hilchos Pesach, still it should be Aser B'Kali Abishal, as the Aruch HaShulchan says. And Rav Moshe says, no, what our eyes see, it's only coloring. It's only coloring, it's not cooking. So what does that mean? It's only coloring and not cooking. We weren't so excited about that. What do you mean it's only coloring and not cooking? We consider it to be cooking. And it's like the whole discussion of, we don't really know what cooking is. Take salt, Rav Moshe says. We don't see anything. We don't see anything. And Afal Pi Kein is considered to be cooking according to one day in the Gemara. So we're not exactly sure what cooking is. Where does that leave us? Where does that leave us, Rabbi Osai? So we don't really know what to do about all these things. We're not sure. My own view is that we should try to be machmir when it comes to a Kli Shlishi based upon the Aruch HaShulchan and based upon other sources as well. I did want to suggest a wild idea. If someone doesn't want to, can't afford, say use instant tea. It stinks. So if you are in a situation where you absolutely must have regular tea, I'm making the wild suggestion, Kli Revi. So what kind of business is this? It's totally ridiculous. System says Shlishi and Revi. No. But my Mahalach of Darko Bakach. It's very much Darko to use a Kli Shlishi all the time. You take hot water, you put it into a kettle, the kettle goes into a beautiful, beautiful pitcher. And the pitcher, you pour the water into a cup, and then you put the tea bag in. That's very normal. That was an old catered of affairs. But a Revi? Can we think of Revi as being a normal case? I can't think of one. Why should you pour it another time? So if you do Revi, it's never normally done, that might be a Tzad Lahakil. I'm just thinking aloud. It's a very big Chiddush. Okay, our last topic for today, sorry for going so long, is Irui and its associated topics. There's a big machlokes, what's the status of Irui? Tosfos Mem Beis Amud Beis has a lengthy discussion as to what Irui is. Is it three shittas? Irui is Kekli Rishon, Irui is Kekli Sheni, and Irui is in between. It's Mevashalei Kedei Klipa, and the source for that is the Gemara Psachim, with Moses Tato Govar, but Ademekalei Bola, how much Bola what? Kolev, the Gemara says, Kolev, Klipa, and Psachim of Ayin Vav, nothing more that we had seen in its original. So there are three opinions la'alocha. Shulchan Aruch is Machmir, in Simon Shin Yud Ches Sif Yud, also Litein Tavlin Bekara Ularas Aleim Bekli Rishin, because we passed in Iri is Mevashel. Mr. Brewer, Ayin Dalin. He is Mevasha, Kadei Klipa, he says. Now, Kadei Klipa is the middle opinion. There is a significant opinion in Rishon, very significant, that tells us that it's Mevasha Bekulo. Mamish Bekulo. So I'm not happy with the Shemir Shabbat's leniency. And if you want to take water and heat it up, no problem. Just put it into a bottle and pour on top of the bottle. Because the bottle itself is a Klipa. And I wouldn't do such a thing. Because there were Gedolei Rishonim who say that Irui is Mevashel Bekulo. On the other hand, there are Gedolei Rishonim who say it's not Mevashel at all. That's why I don't understand this Mishnah Berurah over here in Sifkot Ayin Dalet. Afilu B'Di'evet Asa. Why? The Rashbam is a nobody? The Rashbam says that Irui is Kekli Sheni. And we saw back in Mishnah Berurah Beis, whenever there's a Machlokas amongst the poskim, the bidiyevet, the food should be mutter. So we have a problem with this. Some say the Rashbam is a das yochid, it doesn't count. What do you mean? a gedol yolam hold like him. So I don't fully fathom this Mishnah Berurah Ayin Dalid. And the truth is, it's a question which is raised by the Mishnah Berurah himself in the end of Sifkot and Beis, by oblique reference to a Magen Avraham Lamed Beis. We're not going to go into that particular question now. We're not discussing Ma'aseh Shabbos right now, which means if something cooked on Shabbos is also b'diavad, but that's what is a question over here. Now, the Mishnah Berurah here in Ayin Dalid is very careful. And adds two other phrases. What is the answer for the Eved? Im era lehedja alehen shelo nifsak akiluach. If nifsak akiluach, then it wouldn't be asa for the Eved. It seems to me it's more than that. It's even mutal lechatchil, the pshuto. Mutal lechatchil, nifsak akiluach, the pshuto cannot be any bishul. Based on the Gemara Masechta of Pesachim, again, the Afayin Vav. Nifsak akiluach, it seems that it is... does not have a problem of bishul. Is there any problem of any bliya whatsoever? So the poskim discuss it. Some say absolutely not, and some say yes, but they call it a chumra bialma. A chumra bialma, Rabosai. What is a chumra bialma in bliyas? Presume it does not transfer over to bishul, even though, as we'll see soon, generally equate bishul to bliya. Don't equate them when it comes to what we call chumra bialma. And as a matter of fact, it has to do with the Sugat Daf Mem Beis. The Sugat Daf Mem Beis talks about putting cold water into hot. What do you do with Tatar Govar? The Tosas talks about Tatar Govar in the case in which the Tosas maybe follow the majority as opposed to the minority, and some transfer that over to Yoredeya as well when it comes to absorption, some don't. A long discussion which we cannot get into. But there's an interesting question about a kedei klipa. If you put a hot solid into a cold liquid, so do you require 60 times the klipa in order to be matir it? So some Tosfos and Pesachim suggests no. Why not? Because the kedei klipa in that kind of a case is what we call a chumra bialma. Why is it a chumra bialma? Because the case in the Gemara, it's two solids clash, the classical case, or a liquid falls on a solid. But if something goes into a liquid, then it's Mis'arev Miyad, and according to many Rishonim, it's Mis'arev Miyad. There's absolutely no Isser. And those all there is an Isser, that some say it's only what we call a Chumra Bialma. So there can be Chumra Bialmas when it comes to Bliya, and do not apply to Bishul. Keep that in mind. So one possible example would be Irui Shenivsak Hakiluach, which means it's drip, 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 drip. However, the other phrase of the Mishnah Berurah, when he says what? When he says Lehedja Alehen, what does that mean? That one word doesn't spell it out, implies he's referring to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who says it's only a problem if you pour the hot water directly on the tavlin, but don't slide it down the side of the cup. If you slide, that's no problem if you slide it down the side of the cup. So it's Rabbi Akiva Eiger quoting the Issa V'Hetah Aruch. The problem is that the Issa V'Hetah Aruch goes with the Mahalach of the Rashbam explicitly. And therefore, that's of course he holds it. He holds like the Rashbam, but he puts in a Chumra B'Alma if you're pouring directly on the tavlin. But if you pour it along the sides, as we hold like the Rashbam fundamentally, he was quickly shani, we're more maker. Rabbi said, we don't hold like the Rashbam. So now the Chatchila. So how can we have a time against Rabbi Akiva Eiger? Akiva Eiger quotes that Isabeth seems to say, La Alocha. Why? He calls it the Rashbam. We don't follow the Rashbam. The Shach already points out in Yoredeya that the Isabeth is based upon the Rashbam. That if he wants to reject the Rashbam, he wants to reject the Ramah, who quotes the Isabeth. We had a nice defense, I thought, of the Ramah when he quoted the Issa V'Heter, based on Rav Moshe, which is as follows. That in Yoredeya, as opposed to in Hilchos Shabbos, I'm very worried not to rely upon the Kedei Klipa, because maybe it's Mevashel Bekulo, but in Yoredeya, which is always post facto, it's probably not the Rises, we would do assume it does not cause a Bliya of more than a Kedei Klipa. Fine. It won't cause a Bliya more than a Kedei Klipa. Now, when I'm pouring water on plain water, on two separate things, the chance of their being within a kedai kliva of each other are, in a typical situation in our kitchens where you're pouring over greasy dishes with fleishiks, milchiks, the words, close to nil. How can that be? Kedai kliva is as thin as possible peel. The only place where we have to worry about it is you're pouring water on a chicken. And the chicken, if you pour the hot water on the chicken before you salted it, makes it impossible to salt it subsequently. There, it's literally on the level of cells. It's so small. It's microscopic. So you can have the blood from one capillary go into the next one. They're so close to each other because they klipa. But in our kitchens, we have dishes stacked. The grease from the flesh is not within the kedai klipa of the milchik dish, and therefore that's why they're a mold b'mekel, even though the source, truth to be told, is based upon the Rashban that we don't follow. That's our defense of the Ramah. The Shach said it's based upon Rashban. We should reject it. And therefore, Rabbi Kivega here seems to be very problematic. I would never rely upon this Rabbi Kivega halacha lemaisa. I just wouldn't do it. Now, Rabbosai, the source of Irish and Nischal has a source. The source of Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Amud Beis. Take a look quickly. Daf Mem Amud Beis. The famous story over here. What happened over here, Rabbosai? Mem Amud Beis. The Gemara tells a story of Maisa Shehoya. What happens? Nichnasi Acha Rebbe the Beis Americas of Bikashi Laniach Lo Pach Shal Shem Ba Bati. Tul Biklisheni Vitein. So yeah, it's a problem. Now what's the case of the Ambati? Says Rashi, be Ambati, it's Chamit. Very says Rashi the Moses later on. Kigon Brecha Hasuya Bekarka Shamayim Nichnasim Sham Venesafim. So the water slides along the ground as it gushes out of the Chamit Tveri and it collects in some little hole somewhere. So the problem is Rabbeinu Shalom. Why is that considered to be a Klirishin? It's put into a cliche. Why is that a Klirishin? It's not on the fire. The answer is it slides along. Irish and Nischal. On this basis, the Chaznish is quoted, the Shmir Shabbos quotes it, that if you fill your water from a kettle, so when the water came from the kettle into your teacup, the kettle was off the fire. It was in my hand. But if you fill your water from an urn, Rabosai, and the urn, while the water is leaving it, going into the cup, the urn is literally on the fire, because the fire doesn't move from the bottom of the urn, that would be a klirishin, even in the cup. Gewalt! Chumra of the year! All of our problems we had before are going to be exacerbated with our teacups and coffee cups. That is the klirishin mamish. So is the Chazanish is quoted as saying. And the truth is, it sounds that way from here from Rashi. Of course, it's against the Ramah and the Yerodeah. Ramah and Yerodeah talks about precisely such a case, where there's a pot on the fire, and it overflows with fleshik, and it goes, pours onto milchik, says Ramah, as is a kedai klipa. Quote the Chazanish, shirasa bakulo, because it's on the fire, it's all the klirishin. So I believe that the answer is that our Gemara is referring to the limited case of Chamei Tveria, where there's a constant flow. It's flowing straight all the time. Because it's flowing all the time, that's why it has a halachic status of a Kli Rishon. As opposed to the case of our urn, where you open the faucet, take some water out, and then you close the faucet. So there's been a disconnect between the water in the cup and its original source. And there's been a disconnect. Therefore, we should give it a status of a Kli Sheni and not a status of a Kli Rishon. I hope that's true, because if it's not true, we're in trouble in many Jewish homes. So we do consider our teacups to be considered a Kli Sheni. We're according to the way that Shmir Shabbos quotes from the Chazanish, it wouldn't be. So I think the minig is to be Mekel in this question. I think those who want to look it up. We had it somewhere or other. If I can find it. Ha'ara Kuf Chav Beis in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas. Okay, he says it's against the Ramon, the Shmir Shabbos asks. So that's what we thought. It depends if it's flowing continually or not. Our final two points are related to this. One is the case of an urn, of a ladle. What is the status of a ladle? Take a look in Tosfos here, Nafmem Amud Beis. Toys is a cash over here. Shma mina klishen in a mevashel. Tema. Maish la klishen in a klirishin. If yatsa letes, I feel a klishen in nami. He ain't yatsa letes, I feel a klirishin. Nami ain't a mevashel. Good cash. Fiesh lomar. Fiesh a klirishin mitoch sh'omar ala ur. Dof nos of chamin. Umach zik chomos mamaruba. Ulachach nostal bo shir. To cause manchi as letes bo osa. Aber klisheni, afa gav di atzal letes bo, mutter, shein dof nos of chamin va holech umiskare. Since the heat is dissipating, so klisheni is eino mevashe. Eino mevashe. Fine. The Chavos Das is an interesting comment here. If you hold tato govar, the question is no question. It's tato govar, so we understand why klirishin is mevashe, because it starts over the heat on the bottom with the fire. But klisheni, the kli is cold on the bottom, tato gava should be not mevashel. He wants to suggest that this whole tosis is going to the rav, a whole di lo gava, which is a chiddush. Others disagree with the chiddush. We don't have time to go into that at this particular time. Now, but its relevance is the Chavos Das to a ladle. What's a ladle? It's neither here nor there. Are its walls hot or are its walls cold? Well, the answer is, since the ladle is not something on the outside, like a teacup, the ladle is put into the actual pot of soup, so the walls are somewhat hot. Now, I understand why the Ramah seems to say in Yoredeya, if you have something which is in a ladle, has the status of a Kli Rishon. You can make something treif. We assume that Kli Rishon is necessary to cause Bliya. It can still cause some level of bliya and make a treif. That's what he says. Now, the Chavos Das has a following compromise. He says, you know what? Water in a ladle will cause bliya, but not bishul. Now, we had a distinction between bliya and bishul before. We mentioned it when it comes to kali habishul. We mentioned before the Meiri, less than Yatzal Letisbo. This is found in various sources in the Yoredeya. It's also quoted, this Shita of less than Yatzal Letisbo. It is a Shita. I'm not denying that it's a Shita. However, it seems to me we don't really pass like the Shita. We pass the Bli and Bishul go together again with the sole exception of what's called the Chumus Biyama of Bliya, which is not maybe the Yavu with Nasir, such as if you have a Maimamis Arvim, so the Chatchila, we require a klipa by a yovesh, but we can't require it by a lach. It all gets mixed in, so we'll make it with the yevet. Don't eat shishim. That's what we pass it against the Machmir. Fine. But generally they go together. So the Chavos Das, his teretz, is somewhat difficult. It seems to me that we'll never be able to resolve this one. So machlokos gedoli apostle, for good reason. You see, the walls of the ladle are neither here nor there. It's not hot like the walls of a pot that's been in the fire for an hour. It's not cold like the walls of a cup that's never been on the fire. It's been in the soup on the fire for a limited amount of time. I emphasize on the fire. The Chazanish said somewhere, if you put your ladle into a pot which has been removed from the fire, then for sure the status of a cliché. That's very helpful on Shabbos, because of the chumah of Hagasa means you're not supposed to stir things, we're not exactly sure why, some kind of a chumah b'yalma, so we try to remove the soup from the fire before we stir it. So therefore, getting back over here, we should say that in most Jewish homes, the urn will be a klisheni because it's put into this pot of soup after it's removed from the fire. If it was put into the pot of soup on the fire, for whatever reason, it seems to me we'll never be able to resolve it. So machlokos gedoli aposkim. Some say it's klirishin, some say it's klisheni. And the walls are in between. They're not ice cold like the teacup. They're not red hot like the pot's been on the fire for an hour. It's sort of in between. As a matter of fact, the Mishnah Berurah says over here in one place in Pei Zayin that if you leave it there long enough that the steam is coming out of that area independently of the ladle full of soup, that would be enough to consider it to be a Kli Rishon L'Chol HaDeis. Why? Because there the walls are obviously so hot, so therefore they have a status of Kli Rishon proper. If you look in the Rishonim, it's not that way. The Rishonim draw a distinction between whether the steam is coming out of the ladle or not from the perspective of Hagolah, because Hagolah requires Mayim Roschim above Malei Ababuos. But when it comes to the whether it's Bishul itself or not, we don't find this beferish in the earlier sources. But okay, I can understand it based on the logic we just presented. Halacha Lamaisa, the Chavos Das himself says it's considered to be a suffek with respect to Blia. But then he says, once you pour out of it, it's considered to be Irui Shadivstika Kiluach, and it's more lenient. I'm not going into the whole Yoredei of the Chavos Das right now, just to mention it briefly. And finally, I'm sorry to go so long, there's a Dava Gush. Dava Gush is the famous Marashal. The Marashal of Dava Gush is the status of a Kli Rishon, even though it's in a Kli Sheni. Why? It doesn't have the Defanas HaMakaros that Tosu seems to be alluding to. Tosu says enough Mem and Beis. Why is Kli Sheni Kal? Because it's Defanas Makaros. Now, those words are not really found literally in Tosu. Tosu says if it's Kli Rishon is Defanas Chamin, but Kli Sheni ain't Dafnos of Chamin. Didn't say it's Kar. Keep that in mind. But okay. In any event, when it comes to the Dava Gush, there's not such a great impact on the solid block of food. Why not? Because it doesn't assume the same shape of its receptacle. It holds heat within it. The block, a gush is a block, and therefore, according to the Marshal, there could be a blia. Interestingly, the Marshal said with respect to Yoredei, Blias, the Magen Avraham is the one who extended it to his Bishul, because presumably he felt that Blia and Bishul go together. Many poskim say no. Even the Marshal's chum is a good chum in Yoredei. For Blia, it should not be followed with respect to Bishul B'Shabbos. So this is one of those unresolved questions, what status do we give to a Dava Gush. We talk about Dava Gush, but Kli Sheni, the presumption is that it was speared with a fork, with a knife, was placed onto a plate, and it has the status of Dava Gush. That kind of a case would be perhaps even worse. It might be considered to be what we call in our language Irui. So there are Machmirim in that kind of a case, because they label it as Irui. It's not a Kli Sheni. What would be a Kli Sheni? If you took it with a spoon underneath, and then you put it down, whatever status of a Kli Sheni, again, as far as the Yoredei is concerned, as far as the Chosbishul is concerned, it's arguable, but once you put it down on the plate, it has one status of Kli Sheni, while it's in the air, the much more Chabadika status of Kli Rishon. And I don't want to go any further than I've done. It's already Ad Chatzos. I don't mean halacha tells, that's coming soon, but it's already 12 o'clock, and this year's gone a little bit too long. I apologize for that. We've covered, again, somewhat hastily and superficially, the main highlights of the sugya of Bishul. There's one thing I want to tell you about, which is a Yerushalmi, which you didn't discuss the first time around. It says, Asu harchoko likli rishon, velo asu harchoko likli sheni. An enigmatic Yerushalmi, which some of you may have seen in some of the old Maramakomas, we never had a chance to talk about it. So maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow, before we go back to the wars of Shehiyah and Achzor, if you remind me, but since we didn't discuss it the first time around, I wanted to discuss it for the full Olam. So then tomorrow about the Shir is the 12th. We start in exactly 24 hours. Now it's 12. It's not tomorrow 12 until 1:30. Then we'll have a mincha. So I eat a big breakfast tomorrow about say the covered Chanukah and the covered later lunch. Okay. Thank you for your patience. Maybe we can make a mincha for mincha in a few minutes in the base manish if we get a. But there's also maybe a Sudas. I'm not going to say the Torah, so we're going to be married.